be in the car anymore. I want to go home. I don't want to go to Wally World.
Clark, under the circumstances, I wouldn't mind if we just went home. In retrospect, it seems like a pretty bad idea driving out. It's been one disaster after another.
Yeah, it's been a real drag, Dad. Maybe we can try it some other time. Wally World's overrated anyway.
What do you think?
I think you're all in the head. We're 10 hours from the fun park, and you want to bail out. Well, I'll tell you something. This is no longer a vacation. It's a quest. It's a quest for fun. I'm going to have fun, and you're going to have fun. We're all going to have so much fun, we'll need plastic surgery to remove our goddamn smiles. You'll be whistling zippity-doo-dah out of your assholes. I got to be crazy. I'm on a pilgrimage to see a moose. Praise Marty Moose. Holy shit.
Dad, you want to ask for something?
Don't touch!
And now, coming to you from the Super Digital Studio, deep within the broadcasting multiplex of CBS Radio, this is the Rick Emerson Show.
Like, I don't really know that he has to be convinced beyond that.
That's true.
Motive enough right there. Why, hello! I was so tempted to play a longer version of that vid, the National Lampoon speech just now. Maybe we'll use this as our end of show clip. Am I still potted up? I was so tempted to tag that with the...
Sorry, folks. We're closed for 2 weeks to clean and repair America's favorite family fun park.
Sorry. I didn't, though. Too much of a downer. So we'll play that at the end of the program instead. All right. Why, hello. It's 3 minutes and 38 seconds after the hour of 11, and it's the month of August in the year of our Lord, 2007. Thank you for coming along, making a part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970, Solid State Radio. Thank you for joining us today. It is Wednesday. Welcome to Day 12. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program here in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You'd like to join us today. 503-733-2970 with your comments, your clarifications, your conventions, your 2 cents, your what have you. 503-733-2970. Scotty the J is standing by as we speak, ready, willing, able. He cannot wait for your phone calls to begin. It gives him a reason to live. He can pass them along here, your observations on the tedious, the mundane, the interesting, the groundbreaking, the whatever. 503-733-2970. You want to email, you can do that as well. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. The rest of the crew, Tim at 970.am, Sarah at 970.am, or Scotty J at 970.am. Scotty, you know better than to say such things. Who wants to know what Scotty just typed on the screen?
Oh, I do.
Me too.
He just typed up, please don't call today. Okay. You know what to do. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Why did he hand me this? Scotty came in, he rushed in with 5 seconds to go before the show and thrust this newspaper into my hands because he felt that this article had to be read. It was the most important thing on earth. Apparently in England, they don't really care for girls with red hair. There you go. End of story. Done. And they picked a truly awful picture of Marcia Cross to illustrate that point. All right. Well, whatever. Okay. And we're done. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Tim and I were talking about, we ought to have, I'm not saying that they ought to put us on satellite or they ought to do some, or we, whenever we get, whatever that HD, I don't even really know what that is. Whenever they
HD
put us on
TV? What, oh no, that's something.
No, whenever they put us on the HD, an alternate, it's a hidden channel between the channels.
It doesn't matter, only two people have radios to pick it up.
I was going to say, and they're really.
It's like asking people to buy a television in the 1930s.
We'll use that for the same people that have all the AM stereo receivers out there. Which essentially is just like, that really is just like three guys who hang around a card table at Craig Adams' house and trade air checks with each other. No offense. Anyway, what was I saying? Oh, anyways, but Tim and I were noting that every day we come in and we think that maybe we're not going to be behind. Maybe the news pile will not outgrow us like The Blob in the 1958 film of the same name starring Steve McQueen. But you know what? By the time 11:01 comes around, I swear to God, we are like one of those crazy New York people that they find buried underneath 40 years worth of newspapers and cat feces in his own apartment. Except it's just news. It, really, you will find me someday dead and buried and smothered and suffocated underneath hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of stacks of news that we never got to on the program. We almost need like an alternate channel or an alternate, you know, whatever. Like, what is that Opie and Anthony thing where they do the half the show on the radio and then they go to the rest on the satellite or whatever? If I thought they'd pay us enough, I would just do a second show. I would just do a supplementary program that's just called Crap We Didn't Get To Earlier Today. Just put it on like at midnight to 2 or at the crack of dawn or something. We'll do line extension. I'll just start doing a whole separate spin-off of this program that's just things we didn't get to. All right. Really? Is that true? Apparently people are just calling and Scotty's answering the phone and they're screaming into his ear and hanging up. Scotty, you can't show weakness. That they can smell that. They can, the audience can sense the blood in the air, Scotty. Don't ever show the soft white underside. They'll go right for it. All right. Here's what's coming up today, my friends, my amigos, my compadres, my companions. We've got CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard, who I swear to God, this is what's it's the rupifying of Lisa's job. Here's what they had Lisa doing today. She's not frying an egg on the sidewalk because it's all hot or something. They have her, I swear to God, setting ice cream down on the sidewalk and timing it to see how long it takes to melt.
Really?
You know, Lisa has like 40 degrees in journalism and she spent like 9 years in Russia and she knows everything there is to know about politics. They have her timing how long it takes ice cream to melt on a sidewalk in Washington, D.C. There you go. So that's going to be exciting. We'll talk to Ed McCarthy, who's getting his latest on the latest on those miners in Utah. And I guess it's bad news, because I guess now it's going to be like at least another week. I guess they pushed back how long it's going to be before they can get to those guys. Apparently, we did miss a whole lot of entertainment value in that press conference that the mine guy had. Because Lara came home yesterday, and the first thing at the Lara's house, she's like, did you see the press conference of the mine guy? And I said, no. And apparently the guy is crazy. Several people told us about it yesterday, but we didn't really watch it. We didn't have time. It was already over by the time we came on the air, and blah, blah, blah. But apparently the guy is just a nutcase. And apparently he, halfway through the press conference about these Utah guys are in the mine, he started screaming, and global warming's a myth! Like, I, for no reason. So that almost, right there, is enough to get me to watch it. What else? Let's see here. Jim Roop will be joining us today to talk about Barry Bonds. Do you see the front of the New York Post today? Anybody?
No.
Oh, it's fantastic. As you know, I don't really care about sports all that much. I care about sports when they intersect with pop culture. And Barry Bonds is doing, he's been doing that for quite some time now. So the front of today's New York Post, which really is the greatest of all American newspapers. By the way, the oldest continually published newspaper in the United States, founded by Alexander Hamilton in 17... Now the date escapes me.
I'll be sure to bring you back some when I go to New York.
Man, please do. I love me the New York. That's one of the great things.
I know, as right-wing as it is, it's very entertaining.
But you know what? See, this is...
I just like the gossip section.
And that's the thing. And I don't want to get off and do a whole deal here. But because you know how it is. We get a lot of ideologues, both right and left, who will either email or they'll call us up and they'll yell at us about something. And by us, I mean me. They'll call up and they'll screech at me about something because I'm not being conservative enough about something, or I'm not being liberal enough about something, and I don't even really care. That's the whole, and in that way, it just doesn't matter. It just boils down to what's hilarious and what's not, and what we can make juvenile, crass jokes about and what we can't. And in that way, we really are a lot like Rupert Murdoch. Because, you know, Rupert Murdoch doesn't care. Everybody tries to label Rupert Murdoch as some big right-wing, fascist, conservative ideologue, but, you know, he's the guy who brought us Married with Children. Now, he's the guy, he brought us The Simpsons, he brought us Herman's Head.
And owns The Village Voice.
And The Village Voice.
That's another. He never touched that.
No. The Village Voice, which he leaves alone.
Michael Musto.
He brought us the page, what is it, the Page Six girl, Page Three girl? Yeah. Whoever, the big chick with the big cans that's always in the sun or whatever that paper is in Britain. And he brought us the New York Post, or he bought the New York Post anyway. And he just turned that into a total sleaze rag, which is fantastic. In that book I just finished, The Bronx is Burning, there's a whole section about Rupert Murdoch going through New York and buying everything. And how he promised them at the New York Post, we will not become a newspaper that traffics in sleaze. And like a week later, he fired everybody and just became a newspaper that traffics in sleaze, which is wonderful. So anyway, on the front of today's New York Post, because Barry Bonds hit 756 yesterday.
And I also saw that. I've seen two big sports things in the past week.
It's kind of cool, if only because it's filling everybody with such divisiveness and hate, and so it's tailor-made for me. The front of today's New York Post is golden. It says in huge letters, taking up like two-thirds of the front page, it just says 756 in big letters, except the numerals are all made out of syringes. Bam! Yeah! That's how they roll. It's gold. I don't even care if it's true. You know what? It doesn't matter. So that's a wonderful thing. So we'll talk to Jim Roop about that. I think he was there, actually. So we'll talk to Roop about that. What else? Top five coming up today. We will get to this today. Top five cool songs today. We had to bump it because it's Scotty's birthday. Top five cool songs. Let's see. We have a very special Glorious Bastards announcement we'll get to today. Don't forget, Glorious Bastards, all this week we are giving away tickets to the AST Dude Tour, which is going to be in town 16th, 17th, 18th, and 19th. That's kind of through next weekend. And we are giving those away, but the only way you can qualify to win those here is to become an AM 970 Glorious Bastard if you are not already. So you go to 970.am and do that. Speaking of which, up at the website right now at rickemerson.com, there is a great high-quality close-up video of that Jake Brown guy hitting the ground and both his shoes coming off. So we had a listener track that down and give it to us. That's fantastic. We'll do the Night Ranger tickets later on today as well. We have some Lily Allen news. Apparently, Britney's done something embarrassing. We have a sewage watch we'll get through today just so we can use our new theme song. And that's it. I mean, that's not it, but that's all I'm going to tease. So there you go. Plus your calls and so forth. It's 503-733-2970. We are joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon. Why, hello, and how are you?
I just got the best email from a listener.
Really?
It was about Labyrinth yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Here, I love Labyrinth. I tried being the Goblin King for Halloween once, but I just ended up really drunk with a bad wig, tights with a cucumber stuck in the crotch, and literally covered in glitter spray. Thanks for the add-on, MySpace. P.S. I'm not gay.
Okay. There you go.
I would do anything for a picture of that.
Well, depending on what year it was, people might mistake you as any number of other. Can I just tell you this? Speaking of MySpace, for the first time in like 4 weeks, my MySpace friend ad request is empty. Not because I get a ton of them, but just because I put it off, and I do it like once a month. I'll go through like once a month, because you got to figure out which ones are real and which ones are fake, you know, and which ones are... And sometimes you'll get those ones... Look, I don't mean to be all elitist about my MySpace friends and whatnot, but sometimes, like, because if you don't recognize...
No, Sunday has just, like, girls with big knockers for his top eight. Even if it says he's a fan, I'm like, I don't even want to deal with that.
Here's how insecure I am. When I go through and I look at my MySpace friend request ads, you know, that people want to be your friend, if it's a hot girl, I immediately assume it's fake. I just sort of...
We have a lot of hot female listeners.
Though. I know, but I have to double check anyway. If it's an attractive woman, I assume she can't possibly really be interested in it being my friend. So I have to click on it and I check to see if they're really in Portland. Occasionally, though, like it'll screw with you. Like there's a person in my sort of ad list right now that I haven't decided on because it's an attractive girl. But she doesn't
look
like...
Is she just from United States?
No, but see, it says Northwest. It doesn't say Portland. It says Northwest. She's attractive, but she doesn't look like a porn star. But it's set to private, and I can't...
What's her name?
I don't know. It's like... I don't know. Something. I'll figure it out. It wasn't some name like Pixie, you know... Pixie Girl 5 or something. I mean, it wasn't some slut name, but I couldn't tell. Anyway, so for the first time, though, I'm caught up. I'm completely caught up, and I'm up to speed with that. So, well done, Rick Emerson.
Yeah, I love the audience, because all my emails are about either Labyrinth or about Chocolate Rain.
Fantastic. I have people have been sending me nothing but Chocolate Rain remixes. Oh, there you go. Fantastic. The haunting theme of
Chocolate Rain. Some stay dry and others feel the pain. Chocolate Rain. A baby born will die before the sin.
All it is just parodies of Chocolate Rain, other songs that this guy has performed.
It's only a matter of time until he's,
You know what, Scotty J, pleased to be getting Tay Zonde on the show.
Seriously, you have to get the Chocolate Rain guy on the show. All right, Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification today.
There's been a 7.3 earthquake near the capital of Jakarta. Where is that? Nobody knows.
Forensic evidence leads to the arrest of two and the death of that 15-year-old girl partying in that Milwaukee apartment complex. There's pandemonium in New York City as a storm floods their subway system and somebody drowned. A new flashlight weapon makes victims throw up. A man is caught trying to sneak a monkey on a flight in his hat. The young Republicans lose their leader following a sex scandal.
That's hard to believe.
Oh, what do you hear about this one?
Listen to that tease.
Women prefer feminine men for long-term love.
Oh, there you go. All right, fantastic.
Not enough. That's more than usual.
No, that is true. All right. Just before we do anything else, I want to thank whoever it is that sent me this. I guess it must be just a PR firm. Ty Murray's Celebrity Bull Riding Challenge. I got this in the mail the other day. It is a DVD pimping the premiere of Ty Murray's Celebrity Bull Riding Challenge, which apparently airs on CMT. Which I guess is another one of those networks that... When did networks quit using their full name? They just became initials. You know, like AMC is no longer...
American Movie Classics.
It's just AMC. And then A&E, their official name now is no longer the Arts and Entertainment Network. It's just A&E.
Well, it's much easier when you're trying to set your DVR if you just have the letters in that margin.
I suppose.
They would take up too much room.
At a certain point, it just became too much work to, like, use actual words for things. Did you know that AT&T no longer stands for anything, officially speaking? AT&T now just, literally, if you look at the company's papers, the corporate papers, it now only stands for AT&T. It no longer actually is an acronym for anything. Anyway, so the Ty Murray Celebrity Bull Riding Challenge, this is one of those advanced DVD copies of a show like Peter Carlin gets. Well, if only I cared about this in any way. All right, so guess...
Oh, my God.
Sarah, do you want to watch the Celebrity Bull Riding Challenge?
No, what celebrities are bull riding?
Okay. I'm going to save the best for last. First of all, a whole lot of people you've never heard of. Francesco Quinn. Anybody? No. Josh Haynes. I only know him because he was in the UFC. Johnny Dalton. Anybody?
No.
Nitro Dan Clark. Anyone?
No.
Kenny Bartram. Anyone?
No.
Rajib Ismail. Oh, he's a football guy, right? I think I'm mispronouncing that, but I think I've seen his name. I think he played somewhere for somebody. Okay, and now we get to the big three, though. I read these in reverse order. I read these from the bottom up because they front-load the list with the three great celebrities on Ty Murray's Celebrity Bull Riding Challenge. I don't even know in what order to read these. Okay, the three big celebrities who are appearing on Ty Murray's Celebrity Bull Riding Challenge. Big celebrity number three, Leif Garrett. Leif Garrett, who now, look on Tim's face. Leif Garrett, who exists now only to be on embarrassing, depressing, soul-crushing reality programs. That's it. It's not enough that he, like, paralyzed that guy. Maybe that's it. Maybe Leif Garrett is just driven to be on reality programs where he himself might be paralyzed and thus even the karmic score. All right, so there's Leif Garrett. Do you wonder if Leif Garrett... And Leif Garrett is a guy, you had to be alive for a really specific period of time to even really know him as anything other than a reality TV star.
I just know him from,
Behind the Music?
Behind the Music, exactly.
Yeah, so you were not around to hear, I mean, I even wasn't that, I don't think I was even that old, really, when Leif Garrett was popular. Because that would have been, like, what, 78?
It was both when men and women had Farrah Fawcett Major's hair.
And he did, he really did. I mean, can that guy possibly have money? He can't. I mean,
no.
That's got to
be on drugs.
Says the voice of authority. So Leif Garrett. Okay, celebrity, big celebrity number two on Ty Murray's Celebrity Bull Riding Challenge. Actor, writer, producer, Stephen Baldwin.
Oh, come on.
And see, for a minute, I actually had to go through the mental Rolodex. I had to go through the mental concentration cards labeled Baldwin in my head.
He's the craziest of them all.
He is. He's the one who wrote the God book about the where he became a born-again Christian.
Like anybody who's
like we all want to follow him as our role model to anything. He wrote that book about, I swear to God, this sounds like a joke, but he wrote that book about converting to Christianity called The Unusual Suspect.
No.
And it's seriously. And then, but that was immediately followed up, if you remember, by an interview he did with like GQ or Details or something, where he kept asking the interviewer if the guy had any cocaine. So there you go.
He's kind of like the leftover Baldwin brother.
Well, it's like when God was assembling the Baldwins, you know, it's like
had a big pile of talent, you know, and then he had a big pile of clay from which he was molding them. Mm-hmm. And he really, by the, it's like when you're making cookies, and at the end, you're trying to make that one last cookie, but you've used up most of the dough in the cookie bowl, and so you're, like, scraping the edges. You know what I mean? It's just desperately trying to find a chocolate chip somewhere that hasn't already been used. That's what Stephen Baldwin is. He's the scrapings from the Baldwin talent bowl. I mean, really, even what's his name? Isn't Daniel Baldwin is more talented than he is?
I'm not sure which one that is.
He's the fat one.
Yeah, I get them all confused.
No, he's
is the
fat one.
Is he the blonde one?
No, that's...
Stephen's the blonde one, right?
No. Well, now I don't even know. Okay.
Which one is the one in Biodome?
Let's start... Hold on. Let's start with the easy one.
There are too many of them.
Alec is the you're a disgusting pig talented one.
Yeah. He's the best known, I think.
Yes.
Who is the, Billy Baldwin is Sliver. In Sliver. He's sort of talented, not fat to the best of my knowledge.
Kind of dreamy.
Well,
he
I
was
guess.
Back in the day.
I guess. He's sort of a more slender Alec Baldwin. I've just completely stopped now. Daniel Baldwin was the fat one who was on Homicide. And Celebrity Fat Farm, I believe. Stephen Baldwin, Crazy Usual Suspects, Biodome, Christian guy. That's him. Okay, anyway, the number one celebrity on Ty Murray's Celebrity Bull Riding Challenge, and I only say this because it does have personal relevance to all of us here.
Wait, should we guess?
Okay, go.
Vanilla Ice.
Yes, okay, done.
Okay.
And we're finished. There we go. Did you know?
No, I had no idea.
Oh, how sad.
It just kind of seemed like something
how
he'd
sad
do.
That you just immediately knew.
I know.
Oh, that's depressing. All right. What else came in the mail today that I should talk about before we're done? Oh, this is completely by coincidence. Speaking of, and I'm not trying to knock, the Christian faith, but I am saying if you work in radio, there is a hole, and I don't mean to knock it when I say cottage industry. I mean, literally, there is a cottage industry of just nothing but really, you know, religious programming. And that has always been the case in broadcasting. It always will be the case. Fine, whatever. But I get these demos in the mail all the time from these organizations that produce religious radio programming. And they clearly have no idea who we are. They just were on a mailing list. And they just send demos of their stuff to, like, every station in the world. So I got this CD demo of The Word of Promise. It says, attention program directors, inspiration for today's listening audience, today's listeners. The Word of Promise, which I guess is, it is a 120-second daily radio vignette of hope and comfort narrated by Michael York, starring, and then it has all of these big-name actors who are either Christians or who've just been paid enough to be in this. And it has all of these actors as biblical figures in this radio drama. I'm actually almost tempted to listen to it. Okay, so but listen, but it's a mixture of great actors and then like sort of the Stephen Baldwins of the world. So here we have, as the Apostle James, the Dukes of Hazzard, John Schneider. As the Apostle Mark, Lou Diamond Phillips. Which is great.
Did they enclose a CD?
Yes. I haven't listened to it. I can't guarantee that it's funny. Yes, as Mark, presumably Mark, author of one of the Gospels, Lou Diamond Phillips. Let's see. As the voice of God, Terrence Stamp. As Luke, author of the Book of Luke, Chris McDonald, better known as the pedophile molesting guy from that Todd Solondz movie. As Peter, Ernie Hudson of Ghostbusters fame. Also known as the Black Ghostbuster. I don't understand why the Black Ghostbuster was cast as Peter, but it's not my place to judge. Let's see. As both Judas and Stephen, Luke Perry. As John, Lou Gossett Jr. I do give them props for having the multiracial cast here. As Paul, Stacy Keach. As Jesus, Jim Caviezel. As Moses, Richard Dreyfuss. And then finally, this is the hot one. This is the one that all the guys have been waiting for. The sexiest biblical casting ever. As Mary Magdalene, Marissa Tomei. Oh, yeah! Right there. Looking fine, I might add. Looking.
It's radio, Rick.
It doesn't matter. So it's radio for them. I got a little promo kit here. I got a picture to look at. I have something to stare at while I listen to her talk about washing the feet of Jesus. All right, there you go. Okay. What are we? I don't have time to talk about anything else in this news stack. I don't have time to talk about Mad Men, which I finally saw the new episode of Mad Men. Which, goddamn, that show is so great. It's wonderful. That program is so great. The last episode, the most recent episode of Mad Men, where they were doing the birthday party for Don Draper's kid, and then he gets all drunk, and the pregnant mom is drinking and smoking throughout the party, and he's all those depressing scenes of him on the train. I love that show. It has its flaws. It is not a perfect program. There's some things about it I don't really care for. But boy, that show is so great. With that show, the good things about Mad Men, which is a program on AMC, the good things about that show are so good that they just completely wipe out the small things about it that I sort of nitpick about, the small quibbles I have with it. The pluses on that show are so great they just outweigh all the negatives. All right, well, quickly do these calls, then we're going to break. Come back with Lisa Goddard. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Stacey Keach's plan. Boy, I am inspired.
Some of you, Stacy, this is the Lateran Known book of the Bible where Paul tells you where you can score some blow.
Anyway, I have to apologize. I got a suggestion for the opening monologue, and I only have it on VHS, and I know I should go to Super Digital and have them convert it over to digital format for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
But the opening sequence from another Chevy Chase movie, The Deal of the Century.
Oh, which I haven't seen, but that's where he's an arms dealer, right?
Indeed.
Haven't seen that forever.
The opening sequence has got... Stryker as the fictitious head of a military industry complex, and
uh-huh.
They give him a sales pitch, and his only word is soft, and it goes on from there.
Okay, fantastic.
Thanks.
Thank you, sir. Final call, and then we'll break. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Don't mind me. Just sitting here.
Yeah, Rick?
Hey, oh, hello. Hi. All right.
Yeah, I was wondering if Sarah is still looking for a hot dog shack. Don't laugh.
I'm sorry. You mean an actual place to purchase a hot dog, sir?
Right.
Yes, perhaps. I don't know. Where would you recommend?
Out on McLaughlin Boulevard.
I like where we're starting.
Okay, it just past Buster's. I think it's called Rourke's.
And it's a hot dog shack?
Yes.
Awesome.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Hey, it's really good.
Okay. Bye now.
Bye.
All right.
For real?
I don't know the answer to that. All right, let's take a break here. I'm going to stare at this Marissa Tomei thing for a few minutes, then we're going to come back. We'll talk to Lisa Goddard. Don't go anywhere. Now, why does Luke Perry get to play two roles in this? Why is he both Judas and Stephen?
Because he's Luke Perry.
Sorry.
He's extremely talented.
I've forgotten my theology here. Is it Judas and Stephen aren't the same person somehow? This isn't like a Saul and Paul thing. I don't even remember. All right. Oh, yeah, by the way, and I missed... No, it's true, and I missed the most obvious geek joke everywhere. So much so that I almost don't even want to say it now, because it's so obvious in retrospect. That Terrence Stamp is the voice of God. So every Superman fan in the house, of course, is... saying to themselves, kneel before God, son of Jor-El. Sorry. That's beneath me. It's beneath me because I didn't spot it before the break. All right. It's 503-733-2970. The sad thing is, we'll get Lisa in like 3 seconds. The sad thing is that this probably isn't even bad. Like, we probably don't want to play it because it's probably pretty well done. And I just think that reading the packaging is so much more entertaining than the actual product would be. All right.
Well, you stop staring at Marissa Tomei now?
No, I'm not. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. From the Hill, CNN radio correspondent to the stars, Lisa Goddard. Why, hello, and how are you on this Wednesday?
Well, hello. Judas and Stephen, different people.
All right, is that true?
Yes, Stephen was an early martyr of the church, I believe, not an apostle.
I am reading now this promotion material for The Word of Promise, a 120-second daily radio vignette of hope and comfort. Narrated by Michael York, starring Marissa Tomei as Mary Magdalene, Richard Dreyfuss as Moses, Stacy Keach as Paul, Lou Diamond Phillips as Mark, the Dukes of Hazzard's John Schneider as James, the Ernie Hudson, the Black Ghostbuster, as Peter, and Luke Perry as both Judas and Stephen. So there you go. And I swear to God, I'm not making any of that up.
He was, I believe that Stephen was, in fact, the very first martyr of the church.
I
don't think so, but I'm not sure that matters, but it seems like a strange, that's an interesting combo.
It's one of those things that I ought to know, but I just spent so much time trying to flush all of that catechism out of my head. You know what I mean?
Wait, my question, though, is do you think that one of them is going to be, like, in an Italian accent? You know,
But I've learned that, here's the thing, in movies, when in doubt, if you can't do an accent, do a British accent. That's the thing. If you watch a movie, whenever an actor cannot do the accent he is supposed to have, his accent is always British. That is the default. Like, I was watching The Hunt for Red October the other day, which is a great movie, but I swear to God, half the Russian guys in The Hunt for Red October speak with a British accent.
That's right.
Because I guess the idea is that, like, Americans can't tell the difference, you know? So, let's see. Who else? Is there any other interesting casting? John Voight is Abraham. Jason Alexander is Joseph.
What?
That's fantastic, because I'm only... whenever... in a radio drama, whenever Jason Alexander says something, I'm just going to hear him as Duckman. And finally, as Saul... Oh, this is great. As Saul... who then, isn't Saul the one blinded on the road to Damascus and becomes Paul?
Road to Damascus, yes.
He's
Saul
a tax,
Paul, yes.
The tax collector.
Good job, but you've got to flush that out of the system now.
Yeah, there you go. Now I have to say it again. I can delete that. As Saul, A Clockwork Orange's Malcolm McDowell.
No, seriously?
Malcolm McDowell as Saul.
That's fantastic.
Just picture him on the road to Damascus wearing one eyelash and drinking a big bottle of milk.
That's right. Well, also, I think, though, Luke Perry also really snagged a good gig in John in Cincinnati. It's almost, you can get really into that show for a minute, and then Luke Perry shows up, and you're kind of like,
he's
what?
Luke Perry showing up in John from Cincinnati, is that like when Ted Danson shows up in Saving Private Ryan? And you're just, you're sort of going like, what movie? Why are you in this? Or, and I think we've discussed this before, like when Keanu Reeves shows up in Dangerous Liaisons.
Yes, that's exactly, that's precisely what it's like. And John in, of Cincinnati, I'm just starting to warm up to. But yeah, every time I get close, Luke Perry comes in.
All right. Well,
you know, he's not bad, but it's just bizarre. Although I will say Ted Danson in Damages, since we're covering the whole TV spectrum here, is not bad.
Now, here's the thing. When did this become Rick and Lisa just sitting jaw about television?
I have
for 12
no idea.
Minutes? It doesn't matter to me. I mean, I just, you know, I don't care.
A little bit of news, not too much.
No, the thing about Damages, I just don't know how to feel about that show. Damages is, it has potential. I will say this, the best thing about that show is Ted Danson. Ted Danson is the best thing about Damages, just because he's a good actor who was never really given the chance to be a good actor for most of his life because he was
true.
In Cheers. You know,
yeah.
Where it's, Cheers is a fine show, but it's a sitcom, a big, broad comedy. And Damages is good. It's too self-consciously Machiavellian for my taste. It's like, it's one of those shows where, like, the great thing about a show like The Sopranos or The Shield is that it's a very, very well-written drama where every now and again someone is duplicitous, or, you know, someone earns your trust and then they betray you. Where the thing on Damages is like every single thing that happens, you then come to expect is just some sort of a setup for a twist, or no one is what they seem. Everyone has five different masks that they wear. And after a while, it just starts to become exhausting and sort of tedious that everybody... You know, it's like The Shield is so great because they draw the anti-hero really well.
Right, that's true.
And I think Glenn Close, who is a fantastic actress, speaking of The Shield, when she was Monica Rowling's on The Shield, I mean, she was stunning. She was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I think on Damages, everybody on the show is just so... It's just a little too pulpy for my taste. It's a little too soap opera-y.
The first episode I've seen of it was I saw last night, and I felt like I just took everybody at face value. I'm just rolling with it. We don't know where everybody is. And I felt pretty okay. Then I cannot get enough Glenn Close.
Glenn Close is really great. She is wonderful. It's just that show is just it feels a little bit too much like a soap opera. It just feels
maybe.
You know. So I mean, I'll continue watching it, but maybe. I'm not going to tell you. Here's the real $5 billion question: is are you watching Mad Men?
No, I'm not.
Oh, come on, sister, you're missing out. You got to watch Mad Men, which is an original series that airs on AMC. It is by,
really?
I think his name is Terrence Weiner or Weiner. He was a producer on The Sopranos. Ask around about it. It is
fantastic. That's what I need to hear.
I'll give you like the 2-line description. It focuses on a Madison Avenue advertising agency in 1960. Yeah, 1960. So it is just as the 50s become the 60s, social mores sort of changing. It is a really, really, really good show. It's very well done.
That's fantastic.
And it's got that feel of The Sopranos when you watch it, where you don't, you know, some television shows feel like a TV show, and some shows really feel like you're sort of watching, you know, it sounds so pretentious to say this, but, you know, it's like some, like, you know, The Sopranos felt like literature in a way. It felt like you were watching a sort of big movie, a work of art, and that's how Mad Men feels. It's a great program.
Oh, that's great. That's what I'm looking for. That's great.
All right. Well, let's see here. Did they really have you melting ice cream on a sidewalk?
Yes, they did.
Yeah, you went to college.
Yes, I did. I did. Yes, and the two other reporters who are actually in the Capitol, literally at the Capitol with me this week, you know, as I walked out the door, just were heckling me as I went.
That's hard to
horrible.
Believe.
Yeah, I did, but you know, it was kind of funny. I had these two little kids. I made them each hold an ice cream. They couldn't eat it. They could only lick the dripping part. So it was very fun. They were cute kids from Hawaii. It was great.
You know what? Children are from heaven, Lisa. They are America's greatest natural resource. Well, all right. Blah, blah, blah. Hey, by the way,
did Scotty send you a message about the news that we do need to talk about today?
Scotty is screaming to me over the call screening thing here in all caps that I need to ask you about George Bush.
Right. In flared text. How about this? Bush had his physical over the last few weeks,
uh-huh.
And doctors are now giving us the details. They say, of course, he's fit to serve. He's in superior shape for a man his age. But, by the way, guys, turns out the president may have had Lyme disease last year. And basically, they're saying that sometime last year, I've got to reference the Secret Service. This is the most protected man in the world, but somehow a tiny blood-sucking tick did make his way onto the president's person, engorged himself, and left some Lyme disease as a parting gift, and the president was treated for it. So
well,
now apparently the president is okay. Apparently they got, because if you get Lyme disease early, then you can actually eradicate it. But if you don't, then it's a debilitating disease that attacks your joints, your muscles. It's terrible, and it's lifelong. But if you get it early, you can be okay. And they're saying, oh, yeah, by the way, we got it. No big deal.
But doesn't Lyme disease make you crazy? Isn't that the thing?
I wasn't aware of that. I believe it affects your muscles. I don't know if it affects your brain.
Hey, Sarah, remember that episode of The Real World where, wasn't it Ruth who got Lyme disease? On The Real World.
Oh, the one that was in Seattle?
She went nuts. Yeah, didn't she go crazy because she had Lyme disease and it affects your brain or something?
I think she was just crazy in general. But yeah, I'm pretty sure that made her a little more mental.
It was one of the like five dozen seasons of The Real World that ended with some sort of a brawl.
The one where she's leaving because she leaves early because of the Lyme disease and then that guy slaps her and throws her teddy bear in the water.
But yeah, because there was this whole really weird, dark streak in the Real World for a long time where the season would always climax with a white person punching a black person or vice versa, mm-hmm. Someone getting dragged down a hallway, and then someone moving out. He was a comedian, Stephen the comedian. No, that was the...
No, you're thinking of the Seattle one. Stephen was the black guy, and then there was the white girl with, like, the dark brown curly hair, and it was in Seattle, and it was on the pier.
I'm thinking of the other one where the guy dragged the girl out of her bed down the hallway, and they kicked him out of the house.
Yeah.
Never mind.
That was the second season.
Let's stop now.
Okay.
All right, so...
I don't know about how it affects. I'm looking up online right now about how apparently, you can. There is a neurologic Lyme disease that may be a little different. I don't know a lot about it.
I'm just saying this might explain some things.
That might explain the real world, and you're saying it might explain some other things.
Well, it's.
But well, right. It actually worked out really well because the fiance Jason, on the very day that he proposed to me, which was in the woods. Got a tick that just splayed itself out on his belly.
That's so disgusting. Why are you even talking about this?
Well, this is the thing, is that, we didn't know. Maybe you've got Lyme disease, maybe you don't. And so we went to the doctor, he took some antibiotics, but he may not have taken them long enough. And so then he started getting these aches. And whenever we would get into a fight, he would, it's more of a disagreement. We don't really fight much. But, he would just look at me and be like, I may have Lyme disease.
That's like the sympathy card he's pulling out.
That's what he would pull it out.
Okay.
So, but now that we know he's completely cured, it's...
I think he needs a good leeching. That's what he needs.
Maybe he does need a leeching. Maybe I'll bring that up. But regardless, the president apparently okay, superior health for a man his age,
uh-huh.
And all that.
Is this right before they replace him with the Kevin Klein?
Apparently right. This is the setup.
Let's see. I want to read this email. The subject line of this email, keep in mind this is from a man, it says, I heart Lisa. Rick... Not only does Lisa bust out wonderful geek references in every call, she's now busting up biblical knowledge. She is absolutely right about Stephen. He was, in fact, the first martyr.
Oh, good.
Is there anything Lisa can't do, he asks. And then the email says, pleased to be asking Lisa if she knows that Mikhail Gorbachev is the new model for Louis Vuitton handbags. Seriously.
I have heard that, yes.
I haven't seen the photos, but apparently it is true.
Fantastic.
That, which is pretty great, actually. I kind of wondered if that guy was even alive still.
Oh, yeah.
Because didn't they give him the bums rush out of that place?
Well, tell you, I mean, now that with Boris Yeltsin gone, I mean, I don't know. I'm just sad. I mean, I like Gorbachev all right, but Boris Yeltsin was my man.
But I mean, I thought, but would have been Gorbachev, because it wasn't a coup as such, but Gorbachev was sort of, that was a walk before they make you run kind of a thing.
Well, you know what it was there was actually an attempted coup. And it was not successful, but that really led to all of the steps that were the downfall of the government. That in while Gorbachev was out of Moscow and there was this attempted coup, Boris Yeltsin came in, climbed on top of the tank, rallied everyone, made the phone calls, got everyone together to really overtake the coup. And that really was when the Soviet Union crumbled and Boris Yeltsin really pushed for democracy and
excellent.
Completely changed it.
Hey, just as a side note.
I'm really obsessing over Boris Yeltsin today.
I know you seem kind of sad about it.
I love him.
He's sort of like, can't you picture him like if you put the skipper's hat on him, just put him right on Gilligan's Island? You know what I mean? He kind of has that Jonas Grumpy kind of look.
I mean, he's at once such a brilliant world leader and just such a complete goof. On the other end, it was just unbelievable.
Hey, just as a side note here, and I don't even really care about this at this point, and we have no time to talk about it fairly, but I did tease it. I said that I had some Tom Hanks news for you today.
Oh, right. Yes. Tell me.
We don't have time to do it justice. I will just say this, that a series of things about which I am very conflicted. I'm conflicted about every facet of the story, but apparently there is a new film adaptation of the Ray Bradbury classic Fahrenheit 451 being made.
Oh, really?
And I'm really of two minds about that. I don't even know how I feel about that, frankly.
Huh.
Frank Darabont of Shawshank Redemption fame is writing and directing, which makes me happy. But the word from an inside source is that Tom Hanks has already been cast in this remake of Fahrenheit 451. No one has said what role he's going to be cast in. So I'm kind of hoping it's not Fireman Guy Montag, because that would be all wrong in my opinion.
But,
so there you go. So,
man, there are some great books from that era. That is a good one I'd like to see. Like Solzhenitsyn had a good one, Cancer War, same kind of like weird overarching ideas. But
I'm kind of torn about the notion of well, never mind. I don't want to go off and do a big Ray Bradbury thing. Anyway, so there you go.
No.
See, you heard it here first.
Yeah, all right. Well, great.
Here's the thing. If I start this, then it's going to be like 8 or 9 minutes before I'm done ranting about it. And then
we have tomorrow, which probably will also have a lack of real news.
Excellent. I love a lack of real news. Fantastic. Watch Mad Men.
Okay, done.
All right, Lisa Goddard. There you go. Thank you. Lisa Goddard on the Hill, ladies and gentlemen. Damn. Ah, done. All right. Because any minute, and look, there's Ed McCarthy calling in. We didn't even get the beep.
I'm very proud.
5 seconds. 5 seconds. That's what I'm talking. That's timing is what that is. You know what that is, Sarah?
What, Rick?
Timing.
Good job.
You don't care.
Of course I do.
Have pride in my achievement. It's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy from the CNN Center. Hello, Ed. How are you, my friend?
Good, Rick. Timing is everything. I just got it under the tag, it seems like.
No, dude, we just finished with Lisa Goddard like 8, 9 seconds ago, something like that. I know there's not a whole lot to report here, but I did want to sort of to touch on this because, well, two things about this Utah mine thing going on. So I guess it was like an aftershock or whatever, but are they now saying it's like going to be another week before they can get these guys?
Well, things have gotten a little bit better. If you listen to the chairman of Murray Energy, he's the co-owner of this Crandall Canyon mine. He's the one who's saying that it could be now a couple of days because they were able to get these helicopter drills that are going into the mountain to go toward the miners. They say they're about 1,000 feet, within about 1,000 feet of the trapped men, hoping to reach them in 2 days. Now, yesterday it was 3 days, and then at one point it was at least a week because they were saying that there was seismic activity in the area. Now they're thinking that what they thought was an earthquake was the rumbling underground when this mine actually collapsed. So, you know, it's kind of a mixed-up situation, to be perfectly honest with you.
The guy from the mining company was saying that they have, I guess they prepare for this, and they've got food and water and whatever, and he was saying, like, well, they could live down there for a month if they had to or something,
you know,
like that.
They could breathe for a while down there is what he was saying. You just don't know. Unless, something could have collapsed on them, they might not even be alive, sorry to say, at this particular point. But they say that they have dug now 450 feet toward the miners. They're roughly a third of the way toward them. So they say that it's going to be like a 2.5-inch hole that will allow ventilation and access to the trapped miners. And, you know, the only way to get them out is by digging an underground route. But they you know, have not really been able to make much progress there.
All right. Well, I guess we'll all just kind of hope for the best on that. All right, my friend, as always, a pleasure. Thank you so much, Ed. You enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you, Rick.
There you go. CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy. All right. Oh, and I guess at one point during the press conference, the crazy mind guy, when he wasn't busy screaming about global warming, said that the collapse is all the fault of unions. So he's clearly cut from a very distinct cloth. What time is it? Oh, we got a break, don't we? If we want to be on time.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Got a motor if we're going to make that funeral. All right, it's 503-733-2970. We break, we'll come back. Tim Riley is preparing news for you. Later on, we have CNN radio correspondent James Roop. Top five cool songs today. Let's see, we'll talk. Well, we got a whole bunch of other stories to get to. We got a Glorious Bastard announcement, the Night Ranger thing. You stay right there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere. I was going to make another Luke Perry joke, but I think I'm out. I think I'm done. I've wrung all the comedy I can out of this inspirational CD. Apparently, this contains five 120-second vignettes. Okay. Excellent. It's 503.
We're going to have to listen to one.
But it's not going to be bad. That's the unfortunate thing. It's going to be well done.
You never know, though.
Well, maybe later. It's 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen of the Ministry of Truth, it's your personal savior, Tim Riley.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
More gory details on that 15-year-old girl's murder. This is the one in the Milwaukee apartment complex who came from Texas to find a better life, only to find out her relatives up here were bigger crackpots than the one she left. Investigators believe the 15-year-old girl found murdered died when the man stepped on her throat. Yeah, medical examiners rule that Danny Countryman was strangled. Police say Alejandro Rivera Gambora and his cousin Gilberto were trying to rape the young girl when she was trying to fight them off when they strangled her. Countryman scratched the men who killed her, providing valuable DNA evidence that led to their two arrests. Forensic scientists at OSP said a shoe seized from one of the suspects, Alejandro, had blood on it. The pattern of that shoe was also consistent with the implant on Countryman's chest.
You know, there really is no equivalent or replacement for the stupidity of criminals.
No.
Jesus.
So,
what should I do with this bloody shoe? Should I get rid of it? No, you know what? Keep it. Leave it on the coffee table. Better yet, put it in a window and have the blind up so the cop doesn't even have to come to the door.
Save it for our next party. Yeah. Here at the Balboa Apartments.
Let's make a whole tour of Clackamas.
Mm-hmm. That'd be nice. So that's that on that. Then the parents of that man found shot in downtown Portland have taken their son off life support. The cops found 26-year-old James Spence bleeding on the sidewalk near the corner of Southwest 10th and Main shortly before 1 o'clock in the morning yesterday. He has a gunshot wound to the head. He was rushed to OHSU with life-threatening injuries. Because his injuries were life-threatening, homicide detectives are called to the scene. They're currently interviewing witnesses, but haven't released any new information.
Did we talk about this yesterday?
Yes.
I don't even remember that. Where was I?
I don't know.
Was that during the Scotty J. show yesterday?
No, this is before the Scotty J. show.
So he was shot. They found him. He was shot. He was sort of 10th and where?
10th and Main.
That's weird. Normally, crime. I didn't think crime happened downtown. I thought that downtown was a nice, pleasant crime. I thought they just waited until they were up at 82nd to do that.
No.
All right. Well, so he's not dead, but he's, or is he dead?
Not yet.
They took him off life support. All right.
Just a matter of time. Okay. Well, here's something to lift people's spirits a little bit. Well, kind of. A Bend man who tried to race away from police in a 21-foot-long RV along Highway 22. Well, was in a chase that didn't last very long. It started when officer pulled over Urban Wenzel of Bend over an expired registration tag. The cops say Wenzel talked to them for a moment and then suddenly put the motorhome into gear and took off. Now, the bad part is he was drunk, and the cops followed him at speeds up to 60 miles an hour for about 11 miles until another officer called in backup and threw down spikes near Staten. A deputy assisted in the pursuit, deployed spike strips puncturing all the tires of the passenger side of the motorhome. The motorhome drove off the road onto the shoulder. Mr. Wenzel tried to back off onto the highway, but the motorhome got stuck in a ditch. Then they had to taser the poor guy.
Yes! Fantastic. I was going to ask if they'd beaten him senseless.
A breath test showed he had a blood alcohol level of 0.25, more than three times the legal limit.
And so, of course, he's driving the biggest vehicle he could possibly find. That's
21-foot-long RV.
Ah!
Makes us all feel just a little bit safer.
He beat him with the fist of electricity. That's wonderful. I always wonder about, you know what I just sounded like when I said electricity? I sounded like that guy in that commercial we run. Tiffany, do something about the phones. I always wonder about those guys who drive from the cops. Like, where is it that he's going, do you suppose, in his head? You know what I mean?
Know.
I wish I could just appear in the car like the Great Gazoo with that guy. Just go, hello, dum-dum, where are you driving to? Just to see, like, what his answer would be.
Where does somebody in Satan go to for a good night out?
And you're driving, well, I mean, when he's lambing it from the man, he's driving away at speeds approaching 50 miles an hour in his RV. Where in his head does he suppose he's going to go? Does he have some sort of an exit plan, a finale, a point Z, or is it just sort of a delaying the tasering by 4 or 5 minutes if he can?
That is a good question.
Let's see. I'm looking at the bank here. We've got a whimsical call, an interesting call, and a possibly depressing call. Well, let's do interesting first, then we'll do depressing, and we'll end with whimsical. Hi, Steve. Hello, sir.
Hello, Duncan.
Thank you. Hi.
Hey, did you hang up on me?
I don't know.
Oh, good. Okay. Hey, I saw a plane.
The best part is how you asked. I should have just said nothing. I should have just waited here.
Yeah, I would have. Then you would have had to have beeped me. I saw a plane about an hour and a half ago over downtown Portland that looked like it was on fire and crashing. And I'm wondering if anybody else saw it or if you guys have heard anything on the wire.
I think we might have heard about that.
Can you tell me what happened?
When you say it looked like it was on fire and crashing, is this because it was on fire and crashing, or?
Well, there was a lot of smoke coming out of it. It was traveling at an odd angle towards the ground and headed towards the airport.
Were there flames coming out of it?
Yeah. Did it appear to have flames on it?
It was too far away to see flames, but it was definitely not, you know, leaving a happy smoke trail to spell, you know, I love you to someone or something.
So
I mean,
it wasn't a, and what kind of plane was it?
Couldn't tell.
Well, I'm saying no because I'm looking at the local news sites right here. And
I've already gone through them. No.
Yeah, there's a whole.
Don't
lot
forget
of
the air show is coming this weekend.
Yeah,
believe.
You. I believe you hallucinated the whole thing, sir.
Possibly.
All right. All right. Thank you.
I just got an email from my friend Dave, and he said he saw it too.
Oh no! Here we go.
Oh darn!
Is your Dave? Is this a crazy Dave?
This is Dave Krause.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Let's give out his full name so the government can go and silence him. Dave Krause saw the mysterious plane. Really?
They might be trying tricks to use at the air show, like crashing into homes. That certainly delighted people in my neighborhood. I'll tell you. This is a safe air show.
Okay. I'm sorry, I have something in my throat. All right. I don't even know which of these calls to take next. Let's just do this, get it out of the way. Hello, sir. Hi, David, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Yes. I think Tim left out a very important part of that story.
Hold on. Now, this is the unfortunate story about Danny Countryman?
Yes.
No.
What? She's the 15-year-old girl, right?
Yes. All right, hold on. Before you finish this, let me just ask you, let's do a quick checklist. Is this a lead-up to some tasteless joke?
No.
Is this a lead-up to a tasteless facet of the story that perhaps might be inappropriate during the lunch hour?
In fact, it has something to do with Tom Potter.
Was he at that party at the Balboa Apartments?
That's Tim Riley. That's David Krause who said that. David Krause just made that observation. Oh, wait, hold on. Now, see, with my deductive powers, and because you mentioned Tom Potter, I already know. So
okay,
you are going to tell this is now. Just tell me if I'm right about this.
Okay.
Because you mentioned Tom Potter, and I like to think that we're doing our part in just immediately linking his name to something in the minds of the Portland public.
Yes.
Because you mentioned Tom Potter, you're going to tell me that the two guys accused of killing Danny Countryman were illegals.
Yes.
Let's hear it for me.
Good job.
Thank you. Like you're the only one. I didn't hear it from anybody else. Is that true, or are you guessing?
Well, I mean, I don't see how they could have done it. Tom Potter has told us that every one of these illegal aliens are good family people, and they're here to work.
Picking up on your sarcasm. All right.
In canneries, and we're going to build a work center for them, invite them all in, and not ask them for any type of ID.
You should have just stopped when you were correct. Now you're
right.
Now you just,
come on, Rick.
Now you just sound
they
like
they did
a
not do it, Rick.
All right. Bye now.
Since you brought it up.
Seriously.
A new effort to crack down on illegal immigrants is expected to begin today. They're going to go after employees, the feds, they say. They're going to go after employees to fire workers who use false Social Security numbers. That can turn up at most any time. So that's beginning today.
All right. And that is today?
Yep. So Tom Potter, you better stand up. Oh, he's going to close down the toilets early in protest.
There will be no peeing after midnight.
They can come pee in my office.
That's David Krause who said that. All right. It's 503-733.
These are the new rules.
2970.
Fire rings will be mandatory.
You know, everything is just acute to me today. These are the new rules. These are the Glengarry rules. Scotty made a little sounder here. I don't know if I'll ever have a chance to use it. But let's see here if I can, I don't know if I'll be able to find a reason to use this, but he created, oh, you know, it's not in the RAS folder, Scotty. I'm looking right here. It's not, unless you've labeled it as something else. Okay. It must not be a wave. All right. Well, fine. Well, let's get this call. Hi. Let's see. Joe says he saw the coin tower plane too, or plane over the coin tower, except this isn't Joe. Now the call screener's gone crazy on me. Who are you?
This is Randy.
Randy? Hello. What's up?
Yeah, Randy in Minnesota. Of course, you heard about me.
Oh, you saw the plane out there, did you?
Yes.
I dumped a whole bunch of sound bites into an email to you. I don't know if you ever got those. They're good as gold. And it's about chocolate rain, man.
Yes. Well, what isn't about chocolate rain, really, in a larger sense, sir?
Well, I posted this on Sarah's blog, of course, but I think we need to do... It's time. It's time to do a parody of chocolate rain.
Well, I think we've already had... I mean, because we're... Let's be honest. You know, we may be sort of on the cultural pulse, but we are a little bit behind in the internet world, because in terms of the net, I think that thing's been around for a while. There have already been a bunch of parodies and a bunch of people whatever's.
Let me just posit this to you.
Oh, please tell me you're not going to sing.
No.
Okay.
Well, I can if you want. But, okay. Specific to the Rick Emerson Show, a parody of Chocolate Rain called Scotty J.
Okay, I was skeptical, but now you've started to win me over. Go ahead.
Hey, I've prepared a sample verse for you. I can't sing well, but if you...
Okay, just so people know, hold on, let me just let me lay this down for people so they know what you're singing. This is a...
Chocolate rain with your neighborhood insurance rate.
All right, go ahead, sir.
Okay, Scott T.J., his spelling skills will make you go insane.
Okay. No, I like it. And since we had to abandon the Portland Anthem idea because the Young Immortals came in and just schooled us on that, that could be the next great musical project for the Rick Emerson Show.
Put that out to the Rick Emerson comedy family and see what comes forth. Go forth and do like that.
Well, you know, and all we would need is either an instrumental of that song or, in fact, if the music doesn't even change, just a loop of that intro. That might be an amazingly easy song to parody, actually.
Take a Casio and put it on demo mode.
Yeah, seriously. All right, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, bye now. All right, there you go. Oh, this is the... Well, it's not even going to be funny now. This is the soundbite that Scotty had created for me from the Bob Farrell interview yesterday.
I hate to say it, but he ruined it.
Okay, see, I might actually find a use for that at some point. All right, so did we lose Joe? All right, we had another guy. Somebody has just pointed it out. This is exactly what I was thinking. This guy said, Rick, this could be a day like that day when the guy jumped off the Paramount Hotel and killed himself the day it happened and no one covered it. So if we have like three different people, and again, I don't wish to spread panic or fear, but if we have like three different people now who saw a plane that was smoking and, in the words of one observer, appeared to be on fire, circling downtown, and yet... But like no one mentioned it. It had to have been for the air show. Because
that's what I'm thinking.
I can't imagine
the
they wouldn't have
taken off
it
this morning.
Oh, really? The air show planes.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're almost to that noise.
All right.
So maybe our friend Carl Click can send one of his news people out to look up in the sky or something and report back.
Perhaps. This is the sky where airplanes will soon be flying.
Right. Yeah, so it is this weekend. Okay. So expect them to crash into something. I have more to fear than you guys do.
It's true. No, they don't. That's the one thing about Southeast. Planes don't ever land in Southeast. They always land on the, like, you know, out like where there's like a bunch of fabric barns and Blockbusters and big townhouses. That's where those things go down. Yeah.
So I can expect that to happen. Meanwhile, we'll keep you posted if this actually happens.
This fiery plane reappears.
Mm-hmm. About 8,000 people throughout New York City and Westchester County without power, the result of an overnight storm that brought heavy winds and rain to the Big Apple. Alfonso Quiroz of Con Edison said the high winds topple trees, power lines, especially on Staten Island. The utility company must clear trees and wait for waters to recede before trying to restore power.
We're hoping to have the bulk of them back within, you know, by this afternoon sometime, but some customers could be out, a day.
And this is a weird time for them because it is just, I think, 2 weeks ago, the 30th anniversary of that huge blackout,
yeah,
which they cover in The Bronx is Burning, which was like the worst day in the history of New York, I think, up to that point.
And it's just a few weeks away from Sarah Dillon's visit to New York.
So oh, that's right.
This better be cleaned up before then.
Whole city's going to be underwater.
It flooded parts of the city's subway system. The Times Square shuttle was stopped due to flooding. Service on 2 and 3 lines was stopped in both directions between Wall Street and Brooklyn.
That just has to screw that city. I mean, if the subways are closed,
yeah,
because you can't drive anywhere.
No, you can walk.
Yeah. I mean, wait, and isn't Britain flooded too, or London?
Well, outside, it's
London
northwest.
Can't flood, you said.
Right, it's northwest of London.
So
you're fine for your trip.
Okay, so as long as I'm okay.
Yeah, you're okay.
Wonderful.
New York City Transit spokesman Paul Ferranta says it's been a very, very bad day so far.
We always operate that we can get you there, we can divert service, we can run around problems, but today the best minds in subways are telling me if you can avoid the system at all for a half hour, 45 minutes, do so, stay home.
Yeah, stay home. They're pumping water out of the subways right now.
We pumped out 13 million gallons of water a day on a normal day anyway, just because of water infiltration. And when the system becomes overtaxed or supercharged, as they say, we can't pump the water out of our system into the main lines to get it out of the system.
So they got toppled trees, blown off roofs, flooded streets and homes. National Weather Service is trying to determine whether or not a tornado touched down in Brooklyn. 40 buildings there and at least 100 automobiles had severe damage. And the mayor asked that thunderstorms and humid weather please stay away, but they're coming anyway, along with heat indexes of up over 100 degrees for New York today.
Oh, have fun with that.
So please do not leave your home, says Mayor Bloomberg.
Let me just caution everybody. Please try to stay indoors if possible.
Stay indoors where it's 150 degrees.
Of cooling centers. You can call 311 and they will tell you where the cooling centers are.
Ugh, Jesus. So it's flooded and it's over 100 degrees.
Somebody's actually going to answer a phone there if you call them.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure phone answering is job one today in New York. All right, let's see. What are we? Okay, we've got some plane calls here. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hello?
Hi.
Oh, yeah. I didn't realize it was on. I heard some talking in the background. Hey, I saw that plane.
Yes.
And it looked like a rescue effort to me. It was going over the I-5. I was heading into downtown Portland from Vancouver, and I look up and I see that plane that was smoking, was leaning at an angle, and there was another private plane next to it. It looked like it was trying to get its tip its wing back up or something.
Wait, so hold on. So you not only saw a plane that you say was smoking at an angle, but now you're saying there was a second plane next to it.
Yes, there was a second plane next to it. In fact, when I went to get off the freeway to come over to East Portland here, I looked at it. I almost ran off the road when I saw it. But there was two planes. There was one leaning at an angle. I had a lot of smoke coming out of it, and another private plane right next to it. And it looked like it was trying to tip its wing back up to right it or something. And then all of a sudden, the one plane kind of stopped smoking. But it was still kind of leaning at an angle. It was bizarre. It's like they're heading down towards an airport, maybe down towards...
What time would this have been?
Oh, this would have been about an hour ago, wouldn't you say, Sean, that I got in here? Yeah, and I've been listening on the radio to hear what the heck was going on.
Well, I guess we're still trying to find out.
Yeah, because they wouldn't be doing stuff like that over the freeway. I mean, it went right over I-5.
Well,
you know,
I mean, air show or no air show, they wouldn't do that over downtown.
No, it was actually, okay, I was when I got off the freeway, it was still smoking. It was heading towards the Markham Bridge,
right.
Kind of.
All right, we'll look at it. Okay, thank you, sir. I appreciate the call.
You betcha, Rick.
All right, there you go. So do you have any?
All right, that's what Dave said. He said there were two old planes, one military prop plane, one biplane flying very close together heading south over the river.
Seriously, I'm looking
at... So they're from the air show, so they're lost.
But they're lost, but why would the one plane have been smoking, which is what
that
everybody
is weird,
agrees.
Isn't it?
And, you know, the weird thing is,
mm-hmm.
is that I'm looking at all the local news sites and there's nothing.
No, there's nothing.
There's not a single thing about it.
That's because there's nobody working anymore.
I mean, you... Waiting for the RoboCam to...
They've all been laid off.
Waiting for CamBot to put up a story. This just in. All right. So you would think that they would at least be talking about this on the local news sites and whatnot, if only to, like, allay fears of, like, don't be afraid of the smoking plane over
downtown.
Oh,
they want everybody to be afraid.
Okay. Well, How sad that we're apparently the only local news outlet talking about this.
Yes.
All right. Well, you know, we should call somebody. Don't we have people?
I have the air show.
Do we have, this is dumb, do we have Carl Click?
Don't He's on the Carl? Air right now.
Is he on the air right now?
Yeah.
Let's so on the air talking about nothing. No, wait. What
Tell me get off the air for a minute and come talk to us.
Apparently he's talking about a UFO sighting along the coast. And a retired canine passes away. There's the big Carl Click stories for the day. Well, this is Sean. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Yeah, I work at the Hillsborough Airport. It's part of the Blue Angels spinoff. It's part of the air show stunt team.
So they're doing...
So you're with the Hillsborough Airport Air Show? Is that what we're talking about?
Yes, that comes in, a couple of weeks or something like that about, and they're practicing already. That's what stopped.
Okay,
because
but would that have been over the city, though?
Sure.
Really?
As long as they had the correct, proper permits, yes.
I don't want
part
to
of the Blue Angels spinoff stunt team.
All right. So what?
That's why there were two planes, that's why the smoke was there, and then it stopped.
What kind of planes would these have been?
One was a biplane, I heard.
Sean.
Stunt planes. It could be any type of plane as long as the pilot knows what he's doing. They're specially equipped for that. The smoke starts, the smoke stops, that whole thing.
That's
what it was.
You think they might be telling people about that so that everybody doesn't look up in the sky and see a smoking plane over the coin tower and start thinking...
Not necessarily. They're just practicing.
Oh, of course. Why would you tell people about that?
Obviously they haven't, but I just did. So there we go, baby.
All right.
Out.
And he knows.
But that guy was kind of an ass.
But no, it does make sense. They promised us that those planes would not fly over our neighborhoods.
That guy had a little bit of know-it-all to him. I mean, a little bit.
Well, it just seems like a stupid stunt. Like, who really wants to think that a plane's crashing?
Seriously,
that's a dumb stunt.
Clearly, no one is.
That's what people go to the air show. Why do people go to stock car racing to see cars go around in a circle?
I understand
people
that.
Go to air show is expecting planes to crash into each other.
I think the point that we're making is that today, downtown Portland today, is not an air show, and that no one knows. Like when you go to an air show. You get in your car and you say, let's go to the air show. And there's a big thing that says, welcome to the air show. When you're just driving into town and you see a smoking... You heard the first guy that called him, Rick, I saw a smoking plane on fire that looked like it was crashing.
Right.
You think they might give people a heads up, like, don't freak out about the crashing plane in the sky.
Well, they promised Intel that they would not have them flying over their factories anymore, so they had to send them somewhere. There's no Intel factories in downtown Portland.
No, that is true.
So where else are they supposed to fly?
All right.
And there's nothing but road construction going on down here. What could it possibly be interrupting?
We've got more lyrics coming in for the Scotty J song. The next line is, likes to drink his juice with Tanqueray. Really, we could have this song done by the end of the day. Maybe we should have to have somebody sing it. All right, it's 503-733-2970.
So you see, my first hypothesis was the correct one, was it not?
No one is disputing that. I am simply... The anecdotal evidence does seem to indicate that they were planes...
having a bit of fun.
They were planes from the air show, having a bit of fun, terrorizing the populace of downtown Portland, who were not privy to any of this, who had not been told that there were going to be smoking planes flying around tall buildings.
And that is
today.
A revenge of the air show, because the Rose Festival... chopped it off and didn't want to have anything to do with it. It used to be a Rose Festival activity
until
they cut off their funding. So they had to go their own way, so this is payback.
Seriously.
For the Rose Festival.
And by the way, I would think at this point that the air show would want to draw attention to the fact when a plane is supposed to be tilting and smoking. You know, they might want to point out when that thing is happening, such a thing is happening on purpose. Good God. Okay, so everybody...
Did you hear sirens afterwards? Certainly not.
Quit panicking.
Yeah.
All right. Here's Tim Riley.
Not that we're trying to fan the flames of panic, mind you.
Well, I am. It's not really working.
Well, it was just one of those things, I suppose. Let's go talk to this crazy man who owns that mine in Utah. Bob Murray is the head of the company that operates that collapsed mine. He says efforts to drill a 2.5-inch hole have progressed to... had to go 2.5 inches. They're trying to drill a hole that's 2.5 inches.
Does it say that?
Yes.
Excellent.
And it has progressed to the point that the trap miners should be found within 48 hours.
It could be a matter of just inches. Just inches. So I caution you that while we're now optimistic because of the 450-foot advance that we'll be there in 2 days, we've done everything in our power to position that drill will intersect the cavity where the people are.
I swear to God, it says he... Listen, okay, from CNN, like 5 minutes ago. Mm-hmm. It will be a week before underground rescuers reach the miners, the mine operator said Tuesday. Said
Maybe
Bob Murray.
Change his mind.
Bob Murray, CEO of Murray Energy, said, quote, we're back to square one.
Mm-hmm.
There's something really weird happening with this story.
Bob says the rescue workers are able to start drilling this morning. Bob?
The major drill has now started the actual drilling, delayed for a day because of the very steep terrain above the trap miners, and get that drill going. The drill brought in by helicopter was down 450 feet as of this morning at 7 a.m.
They made great progress.
The 2.5-inch hole from the drilling rig that was brought in by a helicopter was down 450 feet on the 1,500-foot path to where we know the miners are trapped.
What is up with this guy's speaking style? Since presumably he's ad-libbing that and not reading it. And
it sounds like it was rehearsed with his lawyers.
What is the... Please don't... You know what he sounds like? Okay, hold on. Can you play that back one more time and I'll tell you exactly who he is.
All right.
The 2.5-inch hole from the drilling rig that was brought in by a helicopter was down 450 feet on the 1,500-foot path to where we know the miners are trapped.
I used to be addicted to crack, and now I am selling magazines. That's exactly who he is.
That is it.
He's Orlando Jones from Office Space.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Bob says he's feeling very confident at the moment.
This drill rig will come within inches of where we want it to be. It will hit the cavity. It will come down where we said it will be. It will hit within a fraction of an inch. A fraction of an inch of where we want it to be.
No, I just can't even take it seriously now. There's something... It is one of those days. There's something weird in the air today. You got the plane.
It's a plane on fire, apparently.
There's
something weird in the air.
Not a plane on fire. At least not that they will officially tell us about. And then
it's a plane practicing to be on fire. They're rehearsing the plane to be on fire for the air show. That's what people pay admission for.
They're rehearsing the eventual immolation of the plane. Okay.
People eat big vats of popcorns, craning their necks in the air.
Pa, I was told there'd be some incinerating. I don't understand this business. Back to this mining story. It is a weird day. It's just there's something strange out there. I'm going to stay in the building all day today. I'm not going outside.
You're going to miss all the action in the air.
I'm going to miss all the planes on fire. This mining story. I don't understand this business of the 2.5-inch hole. You can't feed your family with a codpiece, and you can't rescue somebody in a 2.5-inch hole. I don't understand what that's about.
I guess it's for air.
Is it?
Maybe.
You don't know.
I'm not a mining expert.
Really?
Oh, it is a ventilation. It is for ventilation.
Okay, it's for ventilation.
To provide food for the miners.
Down a 2.5-inch hole?
Yeah. Maybe in liquid form. Through a hose?
Slim Jim.
Everyone step up to the hole? And
eating that
have dinner?
Rudimentary paste?
Mm-hmm. A Tang? Miner's Tang?
Miner's Tang. I don't know why that's hilarious, but Miner's Tang is fantastic.
I have a present for you, Rick.
What is it?
Good evening, sir. My name is Steve. I come from a rough area. I used to be addicted to crack, but now I'm off and trying to stay clean.
Okay.
That is why I'm selling magazine subscriptions.
No.
And I was hoping
wait. You used to be addicted to crack?
Fantastic, thank you.
2.5-inch hole from the drilling rig that was brought in by a helicopter was down 450 feet on the 1,500-foot path to where we know the miners are trapped.
Fantastic.
Good evening, sir. My name is Steve. I come from a rough area. I used to
be addicted to crack,
but now I'm off and trying to stay clean.
Okay.
That's wonderful.
This drill rig will come within inches of where we want it to be.
Excellent. Let's see.
Are there more depressing calls?
No, I'm looking at these. We have a song request, another plane call.
And maybe it's a different plane. They're practicing. They'll get it right if they keep doing it.
Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hello. On the planes, it's been obvious to everybody that the reason the planes were over the city is Hillsborough, because of that accident, didn't let them there.
Yes.
And Intel didn't want them there. And
somebody had made that point.
Well, yeah, but the next logical place really is Gresham and Southeast, but they didn't have the gas to get there. So they just said, screw it, we'll do it over the city.
Okay.
Wasn't that
thank
up
you, sir.
Ago?
I wish somebody on this program had said that.
This drill rig will come within inches of where we want it to be. It will hit the cavity. It will come down where we said it will be.
Now we're getting nothing but Scotty J. Scotty J. smokes the pink one secretly.
your pink cigarettes we're talking about there. Let's see. What are we doing here?
Now I don't even know. Scotty, I was going to take this call until you labeled it, quote, kinda funny.
I'll take this other call instead. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick.
Hi.
Hey, I'm just cruising down McLaughlin today, and did you know about this coffee place in Milwaukee? It's coffee plus girls. Today's schoolgirl day.
It's a coffee strip joint?
No, it's like a little, one of those drive-up espresso places right next to a place where you can rent your rims.
Where you can what? Your what?
Rent rims, you know, the bling-bling rims.
Oh, for your car.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
it's right across from the Dolphin, man. It's the weirdest thing I've ever
okay,
seen.
Okay, hold on. I just got to stop for a second. I got to reset my brain because okay. So, on McLaughlin, by the Dolphin, there is a coffee place where coffee is served to you by hot chicks?
Yeah.
I think I remember reading about this. I think there was a blurb about it in the Oregonian or something recently. Is it a drive-thru?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a walk-up drive-thru place. I thought it was a strip joint, but, you know, it's only like 8 feet by 10 feet.
And did you go or did you just drive by?
I just drove by.
All right. Somebody
maybe it's so small the girl can't put her sweater on.
Maybe somebody should go through there. Do they...
You can't miss it. They got a huge sign on top of it that says girls, girls, girls.
And coffee. Do they... now, can you see the girls from there? Can you see if they're attractive or what they're wearing?
No, they have a tent on the windows, that you know, the reflective tent on the street side,
right.
You can't
it's,
see it.
And it's called Sadie's something or other.
Yeah, Sadie's Hotspot.
Sadie's Hotspot on where in McLaughlin, sir?
Rothy and McLaughlin.
And McLaughlin. Okay, so we'll get somebody to drive through there and see what the...
We'll get a salesperson to go over there.
We'll call on them. We'll get Alan Gabrowski to go call on them right now. Yeah, we'll have somebody go through it.
School girls are today. The sign said Teddy Tuesdays. So.
Fantastic. All right.
Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you, sir.
You bet, man.
Try to sell them a Rockfest sponsorship. All right. I don't even know what's going on today's program. Scotty J, his favorite rap group, Steal His Kid and Play. This is wonderful. Now,
okay,
we'll have it finished.
You know what we have to find? We have to find someone to sing it.
Yeah, I don't have that voice. I mean, I can't.
I think, can't Aaron Geek in the City do that kind of voice?
Maybe.
I'm pretty sure he can.
Not to lump all geeks in the same category. I think Fatboy might be able to do it.
Ooh.
He's got kind of this, and he's got a similar
and
voice.
And he has no shame.
And, you know, and he's, well, and he's a big, you know, he's a hip-hop enthusiast. So I know I think he actually has some experience with that. So, excellent. Scotty J, man, kiss his ears, but he swears that he's not gay. Oh, this is wonderful. No, this is going to be a great song. I can already feel it. Okay. Okay, so when we come back... Somebody who went to the hot chicks and coffee place yesterday. So we'll talk to that person. Somebody calling about Christmas trees, I swear to God. More from Tim Riley. We'll have more scare stories about these aircraft that are apparently on fire encircling the coin tower. That must be weird if you're working in the coin tower today. Look out, there's some plane with smoke pouring out of it lurching towards your building. Have fun getting some work done. Oh, I'm glad we don't work over there. Back after this, it's the Rick Emerson Show. You stay there. Some days the show just does itself. Now they're all trying to find a way to put the word whorehouse into it. I have to quit reading these lyrics from the show. Rick, about the coin tower. Maybe you can send Tim to the top of the coin tower for an eyewitness account of the planes on fire. Yeah. How about it, Tim?
Yeah, but that was fun.
Did you feel like you were going to die at any moment when you were up there?
Well, you know, if I would have stepped up another foot,
yeah,
I could have teetered over the side.
Oh, by the way, I'm looking now at the webpage for this Sadie's Hotspot. It is both great and appalling. I mean, it is all that is great and terrible about this country. Apparently, and we'll talk to some dudes here in a second who've been there. Apparently, the shtick is that it's espresso. It's a drive-thru coffee hut, basically. But it's served you by hot chicks who I'm presuming don't wear a whole lot. Who knows what they serve there? That's right. Sexpresso. That's so great.
It's great marketing.
It is. It's wonderful.
There's a place
Sexpresso.
There's a place in Bremerton.
Home of the D cup.
Oh,
the coffee is served in A, B, C, and D sizes. That's wonderful. It really is. I mean,
supersize me now.
That's what I'm saying, man. I'll take a mocha in a D. That's so great that the cup sizes for your coffee are A, B, C, and D. It, A, B, C, and D. Everything's chocolate right now. Because it's just so. You know what I will say about this? That they're selling Sexpresso. And their cup sizes for their coffee are A, B, C, and D. The great thing about it is it's just so relentlessly tacky that I just have to embrace it. It's just wonderful. You know what I mean? Because they're not pussyfooting around. They're not being between the lines. I mean, they're just it's and right here at the banner ad is just a bunch of asses in hot pants that say Sadie's hotspot. I mean, it's just and it's in South McLaughlin. They've just embraced it. Mm-hmm. And it's on a bright pink page, and it's just tacky and great. That's wonderful. All right, so we'll talk to some guys here in a second who've been to Sexpresso. That's like that episode of Futurama where Zap Brannigan is talking to Kif, and he's going, "Kif, I have a very sexy learning disorder. What is it?" And then Kif says, "Sexlexia." Let's see here. All right, well, let's give these guys who's looking at the breasts on this page has just rendered me stupid. Let's talk to these guys who's done gone to the Sadie's hotspot. Grant, hello. You're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Oh, yes, Rick. How's it going, man?
It's fantastic, sir.
Well, here's how my situation went down at the Sadie's hotspot place. I was driving down McLaughlin, and I needed coffee, and it was really early. And I didn't even notice that there was anything about girls about the place at all. I just saw Stumptown Coffee, and I was sold. So I pull on up. I get out of my car. I walk up to the place, which I thought was kind of awkward. And she opens up the sliding window and is not wearing much clothing. And I was like, oh, casual Tuesday. Oh, nice. And then she points at the sign saying, oh, girls, girls, girls. I gotcha. And then I look down, and I ordered a B-cup cappuccino. And, yeah, it was actually pretty good.
Did you feel a little embarrassed when you did it?
I totally did, because I wasn't expecting it to be kind of a, you know, that seedy, tacky environment.
Yeah, which
and
it
so
is,
like,
by the way. Yeah.
I needed coffee at this point, so I'm sold. It's a done deal. It's in the bag. So I just asked her for what I would have ordered any other place, and I got an eyeful of boobies in the process.
Yeah,
an eyeful of boobies.
I don't know that I could ever be like a regular customer at this place, because it just...
Just say that they don't have any punch cards out there to encourage repeat business. Their product sells itself.
I think I might just feel like a tool, but I gotta give it to them for just being so blatant. I'm looking. They have a photo gallery here at their website.
Oh, yeah.
Where there's some photos of the girls, and it is sort of like the I don't know. I'm either hoping to be or I used to be a suicide girl look, like
well,
everything
yeah,
else
and
now.
They're kind of like, as Tom would say, you know, a Seattle 7 type gal, you know.
I didn't want to say that, but yes, exactly.
No disrespect, but yeah. Anyway, that was my experience, man. Have
Excellent.
A great show.
Thank you, sir. All right, that's wonderful. Well, let's get one more here. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
How you doing, Rick?
What's up?
Hey, the sign says today is schoolgirl day.
Yeah, that's what a guy said earlier. He was like, Rick, well, that's how we first heard about it. Guys, like, Rick, have you seen that place? Is it coffee and the boobs? And it's schoolgirl day. So,
yeah, a big sign right on the front. It's written right on the window. It says natural coffee gone naughty.
Really?
Bye bye, Starbucks. And right now, there's a couple of military recruiters from the recruiting outfit up there.
Oh, of course there are. That makes perfect sense, actually. All right, excellent.
Put it right in front of the recruiters.
Excellent. Thank you, my friend.
See ya.
All right, there you go. All right. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Well, the head of the Young Republican Party has quit after a sex scandal. Glenn Burpee was a rising star in the Young GOP. But in a shocking police report filed in Indiana, Murphy's accused of sexually assaulting another man.
I am shocked.
As he lay sleeping in his bed.
Oh.
The alleged assault of the 22-year-old man took place in the Indiana home of the man's sister following a Young Republican party in which Murphy and the 22-year-old man had been in attendance. The victim's sister urged both men to spend the night at home because of the amount of alcohol the two consumed. The victim woke up in the morning to find Murphy performing oral sex on him.
Oh, oh, oh!
The sister says Murphy admitted to her that he did so. So,
and his name is Murphy.
Yeah.
That's so great. If you are of a certain generation from a certain part of the country, Murphy, of course, being a euphemism for the male organ.
Looks like this is some sort of Murphy bed. Well, apparently,
his
name has been removed from the Young Republicans website. But if you look back, though, here's the best part. In his original bio on the Young Republicans website, he says, quote, I will essentially be the mouthpiece of thousands of young Republicans ages 18 to 40 across the country.
Yes. Oh, that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. Will he ever? All right. Not even a log cabin Republican.
No.
I was going to say just a straight old Republican, but that's not even really true either.
Well, he might have been one, given a chance.
That's excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, he just needs to meet the right wrinkled, withered, gray-haired woman. That's excellent. I love the idea of the concentric layers of shock, too, that the guy who was asleep is just sort of like, well, I'm drunk. I guess I'll just take it. He wakes up and... That's odd. It's like, what is that commercial that we air with it? Like, wakes up with a tingling sensation in his underwear, whatever that spot is. That
his guy, crotch.
Yeah. I like the idea of a guy waking up. That's an odd sensation.
If we're a Republican.
I was just going to say, if a Republican, he might not even know what the sensation is. The Republican might find it. That's a foreign sensation. This is something.
Feels very Democratic.
I have this peculiar Green Party sensation happening in my genitals. It's true. As a Republican, he may not even be able to recognize what that particular activity feels like. So just the idea of kind of waking up and just going, there's something going on. Oh God! You know, and then he realizes it's the guy who heads his Republican Party. Oh. Those stories, they don't come any better than that. I mean, that's a story that just, you know, you don't even need to add any color to that. It's just it's perfection as it is. All right, fantastic.
Well, a man's been caught trying to smuggle a monkey into his hat. A man smuggled a monkey onto an airport, stashing the furry pint-sized primate under his hat until passengers noticed it perched on his ponytail. The monkey escapade began in Lima, Peru, when the man boarded a flight to Fort Lauderdale. This according to Spirit Airlines. The man waited several hours before connecting to a flight to LaGuardia. During the flight, people around the man noticed that the marmoset, which normally lives in forests and eats fruit and ants, had emerged from underneath his hat. Other passengers asked the man if he knew he had a monkey on his head. The monkey spent the remainder of the flight in the man's seat and behaved well.
Pardon me, I don't wish to offend, but do you know you've got a monkey on your head?
That's so great. And airport personnel were waiting for the man and his monkey when the plane landed at 3 o'clock. He was taken away for questioning.
And I love
the monkey appeared to be healthy.
I love the idea that the monkey, and let's just, I mean, come on, monkeys are hilarious. I love the idea when they say that the monkey then sat in the passenger seat and behaved himself for the rest of the flight.
Pardon me, sir. Do you know if you have a monkey under your hat?
Can't you just totally picture the monkey behaving well, just sipping coffee out of a little cup and waving at passersby,
mm-hmm.
wearing a little hat? Oh, that's fantastic.
Well, you're probably wondering what Mario Lopez has been up to lately.
Who?
Mario Lopez.
Who?
From Dancing with the Stars and Saved by the Bell.
Yes, I do know who he is.
The actor, who has already hosted both the Miss USA and Miss America pageants, will host this year's Miss Teen USA competition August 24th. Performers at the pageant are expected to include singer Kent DeLuna and the Jonas Brothers. Who are they?
I don't know.
The new Miss Teen USA will be succeeding the 2006 winner Katie Blair. Her reign was tainted by controversy when her alleged partying came to light with Miss USA Tara Conner. Both young men were allowed to women were allowed to keep their crowns.
Are you Tara Conner?
Mm-hmm. She also spent some time in rehab. It'll air on August 24th at 8 p.m.
Excellent.
This pageant is owned by Donald Trump.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, when I asked, is it? That was really just me bluffing for time while I was trying to find an article about... It seemed like you just triggered something that I wanted to read, but I can't even think of what it is now. Well, never mind. Doesn't matter.
Well, a husband and wife, a team of pig farmers in China have been murdered because of high pig prices. The two were stabbed by a thief early yesterday, according to someone in their village. There are some who were injured in the incident. It's the first casualties due to a spike in the price of pork. Pork prices have soared to their highest in a decade. after widespread disease and a slump in prices led fewer farmers to raise pigs. Many Chinese have stopped eating pork, which is considered a staple to much of the country.
Hey, did you, speaking of people being killed, did you hear about that? I shouldn't laugh. It just seems like a bad tabloid headline. Mm-hmm. Did you read about this hooker that got killed in Blackpool, I guess, which is someplace it's in Lancashire.
Yeah.
This prostitute was killed in Lancashire, and then the guy didn't know how to get rid of her body, and so he just started selling her as part of his kebabs. At his kebab stand?
No, I didn't know that.
Yes.
I'd like to hear more, though.
Well, a sex worker who was murdered by a takeaway owner who then joked with friends that she had been chopped up and sold with his kebabs, a court had heard. It is alleged that Charlene Downs was killed by blah, 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 blah. He's not going to work here anymore. Who owns a fast food shop on Blackpool Promenade. Charlene was one of the numbers of girls who had sex with men who worked in the fast food shops. He apparently killed her body and then chopped
her
up.
Her body?
Just her body.
Oh, I'm sorry. He apparently killed her and chopped up her body. The sentence he just killed. Damn this body. He apparently killed her and chopped up her body. He and others present were then laughingly heard saying that Charlene had been going into the kebabs for several weeks. The customers were none the wiser. Okay, there you go. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, here are some English people we can do without because people just won't stop shoving them down our throat. Now the Beckhams again.
Wait, is this about more gay Republicans?
No, this is Women's Wear Daily reporting that the star couple, soccer player David Beckham and his wife, spicy girl Victoria Beckham, are bringing their fragrance to the U.S. These are his and her scents, already available in the U.K. They're designed to complement each other. They should arrive in department stores in September and drugstores in January. It's expected that the sales of the Beckham fragrances, including David's separate scent, Instinct by David Beckham, should reach $100 million. That's wishful thinking.
Not going to happen.
And $200 million next year. We are sick and tired of these do-nothing people.
Seriously. Well, not only are we
He's not even playing this game.
Has he even played a game? Did he play half a game? Oh, my ankles will have to sit down.
Then he went to hang around Hollywood.
And that's just, every time I see him, he's not even... Look where I come from. Even if you're not going to play, you dress to play, right?
Yeah.
I see him on the bench, and he's like sitting there in his street clothes. He's like
smoking his feet.
He's sitting there like a Nancy. And this idea of, look, I'm no genius at marketing or nothing, but first of all, this idea that they're going to sell $100 million worth of something that smells like David Beckham is ridiculous.
Yeah.
They tried that with Jordan, who was the most famous athlete of the 20th century, probably. That didn't sell. You know, Jordan not only has one, but two scents after him. One called Michael and one called Jordan. And neither of them really sells because, I mean, for you know, right or wrong, good or bad, guys are uncomfortable about going to a perfume counter to begin with. And secondly, asking for something that's named after, like, a big sweaty guy. Yes, I'd like a cologne that's named after a big, sweaty athlete so I can slather my body in it. And that's just not going to happen. And I think I may be wrong about this, because we were talking about cologne the other day. I think that as a society, would you agree with me that as a society, we are trending away from perfume and cologne
in
general?
But you can't wear it anywhere.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
There's always somebody who's allergic to it.
There's always somebody who's allergic to it. And it's just that everybody in the office is wearing it, then it just becomes like you're working in a big gas factory. And cologne and perfume, I believe, are like smoking. It's just a thing we are moving away from as a society. Nothing wrong with it, I suppose, but I think that it peaked in the 80s. Use of perfume and cologne, for adults, I'm saying, because teenagers just need to cover themselves in all kinds of crap trying to get laid. But as an adult, I think perfume and cologne peaked in the 80s, and I think it has been gradually trending down since then. And you're right. It's because you can't wear it at the workplace anymore. And people no longer have a problem pointing out if your cologne or your perfume is offensive or if it stings their eyes or if it smells like pure gasoline. People, they no longer have the problem pointing that out. So as a result, you got like me where, you know, I got my cologne sitting at home that I think I've used once. Since I bought it like 9 years ago, and it just sort of sits there. So it's, yeah, that's a bad business to be getting into these days. Although I did notice with, I don't know, a mixture of awkward uncomfortability and happiness that there was, I think on my MySpace, there was some big debate raging about men's cologne the last time we talked about this, and then Seamus weighed in with like all of his cologne choices, and I was sort of pleased to note that the one cologne that apparently passed muster with Seamus was the one that I have in my house. I don't wear it. I own it, though, so I can sort of, you know, show it off to show up, you know, to get my cologne street cred. Here's Tim Riley.
Joe, I wonder if this guy's your car thief. This guy's been said to be a one-man crime wave in Southeast. Apparently, he does lots of car thieves. 25-year-old Russell Cornell has been arrested after a patrol officer spotted a stolen SUV parked near his Southeast Portland home.
Mm-hmm.
And also, investigators had a warrant on his home and found an assortment of car stereos, global positioning navigation systems, and other electronics stripped from stolen vehicles and a basket of ignition keys.
Really?
Yeah, so what didn't... So,
I don't even think you need a key for my truck, actually, so this might not be the guy. I think you can start
a coat hanger.
Start my truck with a peanut butter knife.
So in December, the police bureau disbanded its auto theft task force. I think you already told us that. Transferring four officers and a sergeant dedicated to going after car thieves, the street patrols.
That's why they can't... Yeah, a fat lot of good those are doing. That's why they couldn't find my truck. That's why it took like... Because the first three... Wait, how many times have my truck been stolen? Three? Yeah. The first two times they stole my truck, they found it within like 3 days. The second time it took 10 days because they have dismantled the one that they don't even have. I mean, so what am I paying taxes for?
Sometimes when they stole your seats, right?
Yes.
Do you want to go over to this guy's house and see if your seats are over there?
Give me a paper cut and pour lemon juice in it. What?
Maybe you want to go over to this guy's house and see if your seats are there.
Go over and kick him to death. I mean, what? Why am I paying taxes when there's a one-man crime wave. There's cars stolen all the time. What's the logical answer? I don't know. Let's dismantle the section of the police department that finds stolen cars. Jesus. All right. Well, whatever. Scotty J. answers phones for very little pay. I'm so excited about this Scotty J. song. I'm actually vibrating with giddiness. All right. What are we doing? Oh, somebody's at the Sexpresso drive-thru. Hello. Hi. Who's this?
Hey, Rick. It's Andy.
Oh, damn it. I just got rid of my Andy sound. I didn't think we were going to be using it.
Andy!
All right, what's
Andy?
Up?
Okay. Hey, okay. So I'm out here in front, and now there's some jackhole with a lawnmower going by. But, here's what the plan says. Sadie's Hotspot, serving Stumptown coffee and fantasies daily.
Okay, all right.
That's a perfect client for us.
Yeah. Did you go through already?
I am there right now, standing in front of it right now. Their best name for the best name of the drink that they have here, and I'm going to have to spell it. There's a pink POOSIE energy drink.
POOSE.
POOSIE energy drink.
All right, now hold on.
Okay, I'm just gonna
bleep it. Yeah, because you can't even spell that. So.
Do you want to speak to any of the lovely ladies here?
No.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Andy.
But Andy.
Sure.
Andy. Okay. Here's the thing. You don't have to say anything else out loud. Just give me the response on a scale of 1 to 10.
A 7 and an 8.
Just two people?
Yes.
All right. Excellent. All right. Fantastic.
And, lovely outfits they have on.
Excellent. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate it, Andy.
Yep.
Andy!
All right. There you go.
So they must have brought them in from somewhere else.
Yes. They really want to direct. Let's see. What are we doing here?
Coffee slave girls.
Oh, hi. I'm sorry.
Hi, John.
Yeah. Earlier in the show, you were talking about the guy was describing this coffee place. He said right next to the place where you can rent RIN. And I'm like...
Yeah, no, just hold on.
Oh, God.
Hold on, just a second.
We need to wait for a delay to build before you keep taking calls about this coffee shop, Rick.
It's not about the coffee... I didn't know. It's
supposed to be talking about the coffee shop?
No, hold on. Don't talk about anything for a second. Here's the thing. Just hold on. Just all stop. So, yeah. So we had the guy who spelled out the name of the energy drink, which I don't even think we could... I bleep that.
Twice.
So before you go on here...
Yeah.
Is this call going to contain any sort of crude double entendre about a place where you can rent rims?
No. No.
Okay.
I'll save that for the next show.
Thank you. Just check.
The guy was saying it's right across the way from the place where you can rent rims.
Yes.
And you're like, what? He's like, you know, the bling bling rims. And I'm like, you know, I think it's strange enough that people, you know, I mean, you know, you rent a house, this, that, but you can rent rims.
And the idea that is interesting, actually. Now that you think about,
because some people, you know, some people rent furniture. That's questionable. Renting a big screen TV, that's insanity. And now you're going to really try to keep up with it. You're going to rent rims.
I guess it's like renting a grill for your mouth or something. It really does seem like the most pointless thing on earth to rent.
Well, yeah, and they're totally pandering, you know, to the very poorest people.
Yeah, I mean, the leasing and renting to own and renting to buy. I mean, there's just all kinds of different levels there. But the renting of rims, you know, it's funny when the guy said that, it kind of, I just sort of acknowledged it and moved on, and I never really thought about how insane that really is.
That was the thing. It just hit me right between the eyes. I'm like, what? You know,
it actually kind of makes me want to go by and just sort of check it out.
Yeah, what can I get?
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
All right, there you go. Fantastic. Yeah, when the guy said, I want to talk about rims, I was like, oh, no,
yeah.
I got to wait for the more delay. All right, here's Tim Riley.
So we talked about mines earlier. Let's talk about mines. With a D.
With it, what?
Mind control.
Oh, not mind control.
No, they can't control minds.
By the way, you're listening to KCMB Portland. Ka-ching.
CBS radio station. The power of persuasion is in full effect for the new sci-fi channel series, Mind Control. The program features British sensation Darren Brown, who uses a mixture of suggestion, psychology, misdirection, and showmanship to predict and control human behavior. He says his mind control skills can be, well, learned by anyone.
Probably not everybody's going to be as good as everybody else at, you know, doing it if they
I hate this guy already.
But yeah, it's not a gift or anything like that. It was just about understanding psychology, understanding people, and understanding how to create the effect that you want.
Thank you very much.
Maybe you can use your powers of persuasion to maybe persuade them to give you a better microphone next time, huh? Huh?
Well, with the school year fast approaching, those long summer nights are staying up late. Are coming to a close for kids. This is kind of unfair because they have like another 3 weeks to go and they're back to school commercials everywhere on TV.
It sucks, man. Remember when you were a kid and it's like they would start to roll that, it's back to school savings. It's
but your summer's not even half over yet.
I know, and it's like July 4th.
Yeah.
And as a child, there's no! And you're just all depressed about it. So, boy, you know, well, never mind. And I was just going to say, it sucked. It sucked. And it especially sucked for me because, you probably had this problem as well, Tim, that although, Sarah, you only went to Catholic school for
2 years.
2 years. So did you have a uniform?
Oh, yes.
But see, I went there for 9 years, so I didn't even get to buy clothes. I didn't even get the cool, you know.
Well, we'd have one free dress day every once in a while.
Oh,
we didn't even have that.
No. No, I just had the same crap every year. And it was used clothing. Because, you know, my parents didn't want to spend a lot of money on new clothing, especially, you know, why, when you can go to the church swap meet. And so at the PAC, which is the Parish Activity Center, read gymnasium, we would go to the Parish Activity Center every August. It was so degrading, so embarrassing. I mean, the only thing that made it less embarrassing was that everybody was in the same boat. All your friends would be there looking mortified, and all their friends were moving from table to table to table to table, going, well, do you have this in a 28th? It's like maybe... You know, because, maybe, is the waist, what is the waist, 28? Well, do you have the green corduroy? How long are they? Is it like a 30? Well, we can hem those, we can cuff those. And so, you know, you go back to school every year, and I talked about this, I had to wear the stupidest goddamn clothes to my school. Green corduroy pants. I mean, come on! Green corduroy pants and a white shirt with green pinstriping. What does it do with green? Like I'm a goddamn leprechaun.
Well, everyone had their color theme, because we had the dark blue and the bright blue.
We were green and gold.
Green and gold?
Yeah.
And did you wear plaid?
Yeah. The girls wore plaid skirts. My sister had a jumper. I had a skirt. And then there were the button-up, like, really ugly, like, ill-fitting blue sweaters.
Jumper? Oh, damn. Oh, that's me. I totally had it turned off. Anyway, so, yeah, but it sucks. And so I didn't even get the cool school shopping for clothes experience. The only thing I got to do was that my mom would take me out to buy school supplies, which I still to this day, office supplies kind of strangely excite me. So I'm sort of very into that. I love a trip to the office supply store. And I think that's a holdover from when I was a kid, when that was like the only school shopping I got to do because everything else just came from, everything just from some guy who graduated 2 years before you and his mom found all of his old Catholic school clothes in a box somewhere and decided to give them to the less fortunate. So that sucks. I'm sorry. So go ahead.
Well, anyway, getting kids ready to go back to school, a famous fashion expert named Caitlin DeMunchy says, first, realize the fabulous 50s are back.
This year, styles have really changed, and they're more classic.
All right.
Okay. I didn't even have time to start paying attention to her, and she was over.
Yeah, she's done. People are dressing like the 50s again, apparently. That's what it says.
Do we have more sound?
Not from her.
That's it.
We're going to the Cleveland Clinic now.
Oh,
who say,
no, I can't even keep up. Wait, hold on.
We are going.
No, God damn it. Turning into Scotty over here. All right, let's try it again. We're going where?
To the Cleveland Clinic. To talk to a noted sleep expert. He says most kids need between 9 and 12 hours of sleep a day, but they're not getting that.
In the summertime, kids will tend to stay up later and also sleep in,
really?
You might say.
But, you know, going to bed at 11, getting up at 10 doesn't work when you have to get up at 6 to go to school. So it's really important to make sure that parents start to work on sleep schedules now before the school year actually starts.
Am I the only one who am hearing everything now in terms of the rhythm of Chocolate Rain? Yeah. Like every time we have a soundbite, in my head I keep wanting to fit it into that Chocolate Rain. Dun 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 dun. All right.
I think that's correct, yes. Jeez.
Okay, we can move on.
Star Jones is weighing in on the newest hire for the show The View. Comedian Whoopi Goldberg.
Yeah!
She is pleased with the latest edition.
I've known Whoopi a very long time. I consider her to be a friend. I think she brings intellectual diversity to that panel.
Even though we begged her to do so, Star Jones refuses to speak badly about the program.
I'm very proud of the work that I did then. That's why you'll never hear me say a mean word whatsoever. I helped to build it. I would never in a million years try to tear it down. That's not my style.
Also, the non-disparagement clause in my contract.
Mm.
Yeah. Rick, Scotty J, no one's quite sure what he does all day. This is, I can't express to you how excited I am about this. I don't think I've ever been excited about anything to this degree.
Except for school supplies.
Except for school supplies. Rick, about planes on fire. To add to the breathtaking aircraft on fire story, beware that one of the Blue Angels is taking off right now for a PR reporter on board, a PR flight with a reporter on board. He will be flying over the city and will be making much noise. Beware Portlanders. All right, excellent. So we have more to fear coming up. Fantastic.
As long as he's not flying over my neighborhood.
No.
Well, it looks like a big flashlight, but it's really a non-lethal weapon designed to make you sick. A company called Intelligent Optical Systems of Torrance, California, has been granted a contract by the Department of Homeland Security to develop what it calls an LED incapacitator. This is a handheld device using light-emitting diodes to transmit super-bright pulses of light at rapidly changing wavelengths, causing disorientation, nausea, and yes, even vomiting to whomever it's pointed at. There is one wavelength that everybody gets. It's called Vlad, the evil color.
Vlad?
Yeah.
Okay.
I might know about this.
Vlad, like Vlad the Impaler?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's named after our top scientist, Vladimir Rupstov. He's a Russian. And the Russians know about torturing people better than anybody, so they must know. Let's see. Oh, they're working on a different phase of this. It's called the shrink phase. So we'll see if that works. Apparently, these are due to be in operation. Oh, border guards will have these in National Guardsmen by 2010.
Okay, I'm just somebody is sending me a whole bunch of cell phone photographs that they've taken of this sexpresso place. The I don't know, the place with the hot chicks or sell you coffee or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I'm just trying to. I'll get those posted later on. It's 503-733. Well, we might as well roll through this because Rube's supposed to call in like 2 minutes.
Or right now.
Well, let's do one more, Tim, and then we will speak to our good friend Jim Roop.
A new poll reveals that about 82% of American consumers have doubts about products coming from China.
Really? You don't say.
Yes. That's the story.
Oh, that really is one more. Well,
that
done.
Was one more, yes.
Way to be expeditious.
We can talk about the monkey in the man's hat again if you want.
It was just the best story.
It was.
That really was fantastic. Hey, and by the way, I haven't seen this thing. Did you see the video of this
plane on fire?
No. There is no plane on fire. Let's be very clear about that. Did you see this video from the guy from KOCE who was picking his nose on camera?
Isn't that funny? Maybe Jim Roop knows more about that.
All right, let's welcome
him. And wiping it on his shirt.
From the Rick Emerson shows in Los Angeles division, it is CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop. Hello, sir.
Howdy.
Trying to do a whole fancy intro there, and I mangled it.
All right.
From the Rick Emerson
office. There is
office,
no plane on fire.
L.A. There is no plane on fire, although there is a plane apparently tilting out of control looking and streaming a lot of smoke over the city of Portland. But we've been assured that it's no problem.
It's just for the children.
Uh-huh. As everything is. How are you? You've been gone, brother. Where you been?
Nowhere in particular.
Just sort of sitting there?
Yeah.
Sitting there waiting for me to call.
I had to take off days, or they, you know, it's use it or lose it with CNN. They force you to take these days.
Ah, bastards. All right. Don't they know that the people...
I sat here looking at my equipment, though. Wait a minute.
You and me both.
You know?
That the people of Portland long to hear your voice, and if they don't hear, you know, they get Roop withdrawal.
Well, you could have called me. I wasn't doing anything. Although I was chasing Barry Bonds for about a week and a half.
Oh, yeah. So, let's just talk about that, and then we'll talk about what I really want to discuss. I did want to discuss Barry Bonds until about 10 seconds ago when a much better story was handed to me, but let's discuss this Barry Bonds thing for a second. So, Oh, man, Tim just handed me something else that's fantastic. This is going to be a great segment. Yes. Okay, so Barry Bonds, first of all, did you see the front of the New York Post today?
No.
God damn, it's so great. The front of today's New York Post, which is a newspaper I love because they just have no, they just don't care. You know what I mean? They have no standards. They'll do whatever it takes to sort of make an impact. They are just unrepentantly sleazy. They just get down in it, in the muck, in the filth. They just roll around in it, and they don't mind taking a cheap shot.
It's all about selling papers.
Totally, and I admire those guys. I really do. The front of today's New York Post, in letters that it's like two-thirds of the page, it says 756 in huge letters, but the letters are made out of hypodermic syringes. It's gold. It is so great. It's one of the best headlines I've ever seen anywhere. I mean, it's, and only the New York Post would ever think to do that. You know what I mean? And it's so perfect, and it just, and all snarkiness aside, it is a perfect headline, too, because it sums it all up. I mean, it is, I don't mean to sound like I'm some AP style book or anything, but it really is the best kind of headline, because really, when you think about it, that headline, 756 made out of syringes and a picture of Barry Bonds, you almost don't even have to speak English to understand what the story is. True. I mean, it tells you everything. So
the word allegedly has to be in there somewhere.
Yeah, sure. well, I've never been clear about this anyway, and I think it may have been, and I apologize for this, it may have been you or it may have been Castamon. I actually can't remember at this point, but there was this discussion about, because there was this discussion of leaked grand jury testimony, and that implicated him, and apparently a few things he, I guess, said off the record to somebody about taking something. But for the record, is there or is there not hard evidence that he took steroids, or is it all just a whole lot of...
There is no proof.
There is. So in other words, he's never said, like, I did it, and there's no picture of him doing it.
He denies it. He has never failed a drug test.
Mm-hmm.
On Costas Now on HBO, they interviewed the scientist who invented what they call Clear, which is what Barry Bonds said was he thought flaxseed oil, that you take a couple of drops under your tongue, I think is how it works. And I think the reason they call it Clear is because your urine comes out clear. They it doesn't test positive for steroids. And he did admit he took that.
And so there's
again, there was no rule against steroids in those days. So you have to have a rule to break a rule. So, I mean, how do you play this out?
Well, and a couple people have noted that he was batting off against pitchers who were probably juiced up anyway. And that the other thing they mentioned is that, in effect, if you parse his statements, he's almost Jesuit the way he does this, that he always phrases it this way, Barry Bonds. He always says, I never knowingly took a steroid. And so he does have what in media circles and legal circles they will refer to as plausible deniability. Yeah.
Well, you know... It's my opinion, honestly, that if you're an adult and you want to do something to enhance your performance because there's a lot of money involved and you only have maybe 8 to 20 years that you're actually, if that, that you're actually able to play this sport, you got to make all your money now.
Right.
Go ahead. I mean, the problem, I think, comes in that kids start to see this and kids use it, and it's bad stuff.
Did you see during the game when he hit the 755?
Yeah.
Halfway through on ESPN2, halfway through the game, they ran a big PSA for no, don't do steroids. And then the PSA was, and it showed it was like a Michelangelo type statue. It was like a sculpted, you know, it was a sculpture of a discus thrower, sort of a classic Greek discus thrower pose. And the statue slowly crumbles, and the voiceover was like, "If you take steroids, your body will fail, and your testicles will shrink." And it was a whole whatever, you know, steroids.
I've seen that. I was at that game. I saw, so I didn't see the commercial. And, I've seen the commercial before, though.
And so yeah, the commercial is basically kids don't do steroids because they lead to bad things.
Right.
Then like 2 seconds later, back to the huge celebration for Barry Bonds, American hero.
And, well, it wasn't really much of a celebration in San Diego.
Well, because now, did Selig show up for the 756?
No.
He wasn't there.
No, but he sent him a note.
A note. Best, bud.
Or hey, whatever. Congratulations.
Yeah, and then what's his name? Hank Aaron.
Here's the best thing.
Yeah.
In San Diego, everybody looks over where Bud Selig was sitting.
Yeah.
To see his reaction. He stood up, but he put his hands in his pocket.
Ah, see, that's great. I love stuff like that. Just the whole drama of this.
Hank Aaron thing?
Hank Aaron sent a videotaped message?
I think he recorded that a year ago.
Yeah, well, because he had to do something,
right? He was reading something prepared. Somebody had to write something down for him because he didn't look very enthused about that at all.
And well, and because that was probably from a PR point of view, the splitting of the baby, as they would say, that he couldn't just shun the guy and do nothing because then he'd kind of look like a dick.
Yeah.
But he didn't want to come out and like, way to go, way to break my record on drugs, you know, or what allegedly, you know. So he. He kind of did the, well, way to go. I don't care enough to be there, but congratulations, I guess.
I had it for 33 years, let me remind you.
Yeah.
Alice Rodriguez is going to come up and take it away from you in about five.
It's funny, actually, if you go back and you watch the video of when McGuire broke Maris's record.
Yeah.
They cut to when McGuire is up there and he's getting ready to hit it, and they cut to Roger Maris's family in the stands, and they're just like so pissed.
Yeah.
It's so great. They don't even try to put on a happy face for the camera. They're like, and then McGuire breaking Maris's, and they cut to the Maris family, and they're just sort of sitting there and just sort of sulking, just looking kind of pissed off about the whole thing.
You know, you talk about asterisks that have to be attached to these records also. You know, I mean, there's so many of them. There's the number of games played. There's the juiced up ball. I mean, you have to remember, in the middle of Babe Ruth's career, they switched ball. They changed the ball. And so he started hitting a lot more home runs in the middle of his career when they changed the ball. So, you know, what's more valuable, the home runs he hit before the new ball,
right,
or the home runs after? And then you have the number of games played, the new bats, everything. There's an asterisk behind every stinking record.
Yep.
And just relax about it. Everybody's record means something special because of the time that they hit it. And like him or not, and he never treated me wrong. I talked to Barry Bonds several times. He was never a jerk. He was short several times. In fact, when he was in L.A., I was standing down by the Giants dugout, and he was coming out with a couple of bats in his hand. And I said, me and a guy from KFWB was standing there, and I said, are you having any fun at all? And he says, I'm just an old man with a cane. That's all he said. And
really?
That was great. I wish I was rolling tape on that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, and I mean, it's got to be weird to be Barry Bonds. That's an understatement. But it's just because it's just the best of times, the worst of times. It is almost the definition of a Pyrrhic victory.
True.
You know, so, well.
Yeah,
you know.
He just wasn't looking like he was having any fun here in L.A. Of course, they hate him here,
sure.
You know. But
well, you know, he's famous.
But that ball, I feel bad for the guy who's got the ball.
It's an Australian
guy.
He's
got IRS problems now.
He was an Australian guy, right?
Well, he's a guy, I think he was from New York on his way to Australia. He had a one-day layover in San Francisco. So he decided to go buy a ticket for the game and just happened to be in the right place at the right time.
What is the rule on if you catch a ball like that at a baseball game? Does it belong to you?
Yes.
So if some guy catches or caught the 756, it's his to do with whatever he wants.
Yeah, but because, I mean, there's value to that ball. He will receive a letter from the IRS saying, you have an asset, you have to pay tax.
Is that true? Will the IRS, how will the IRS?
I talked to a tax attorney today saying, yeah. Well, because they know who he is.
How will the IRS assess the tax, though? In other words, how do they assess the value of the ball?
The ball will be appraised, and he will be taxed. Let's say the ball's worth $500,000.
Right.
He will be taxed 35% of that.
Damn,
One-time tax. If he holds on to it, he pays, you know, whatever, $150,000, whatever 30% is, 35% is. He pays that, and it's his ball. Or he could turn around and sell it, you know, pay 35%.
Oh, that is effed. That is so completely screwed that he is almost forced to sell it instead of letting it appreciate.
Well, he can let it appreciate. In fact, he's smarter if he does.
But he'd have to take out. He'd have to get some sort of a loan to pay off the tax to keep it.
He would, but he'd have. I mean, he's got a. I mean, he won't have till next October to have to pay it.
Right.
So what he can do is, if he holds on to it for a year and a day, and let's say it's assessed at $500,000,
right,
within this year's time, it appreciates to $800,000. If he holds it for more than a year, even a year and a day, he only pays 35% tax on the original assessed value. And then the profit above that, the other $300,000, he only has to pay 15%. It's called long-term capital gains.
This is all
so
stuff
if he sells it right now for $800,000, he pays all, or even if he sells it before a year, and it's $800,000. He pays 35% on the whole Megillah. It's smarter to hold on to.
You just never think about this stuff. Let's see. What else do we... Well, a few
who cares, really?
No, I mean...
I didn't catch the ball, so screw it.
I do. It's like that day that Oprah gave all those cars to the people in the audience, and everybody was just like, well, she's just screwed them with, like, 10 grand in taxes.
Yeah. Well, here's another thing. If the guy would have given the ball back to Barry Bonds, if Barry Bonds says, I want the ball, and the guy would have to pay 35% on the assessed value of the ball, plus a gift tax for gifting it back to Barry Bonds.
That's true? Really?
Yeah. That's what a tax attorney told me today.
Our government is so completely insane about things. Let me just read this. I got a couple brief things to go over. You may have heard about this. Dateline Los Angeles. A judge has issued a restraining order that prevents the release of a 1994 videotape documenting the breast augmentation surgery of Anna Nicole Smith.
Yeah.
I had no idea such a video. I guess I should have known it existed. Apparently it was taped without her consent. Blah, blah, blah.
According to Howard K. Stern.
Yeah, of course. I forgot that guy existed.
Yeah. He's back.
Really? That guy had fallen out of my brain pan. And finally, have you seen this thing on the internets that is, let's see, this is from KOCE.
The nose picker?
See, I have the story, but I haven't seen the actual footage. Have you?
Yeah, you got to see it.
Is it? Now, correct me if I'm wrong. This is...
It's nothing we haven't seen before.
Well, I don't think I have. I mean, not on television, anyway. I apparently... Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Here's what happens. Because we've all... And I've asked CNN guys about this. Not so much now with the new setup, but in the old days of headline news. And some newsrooms are still set up this way in television. There'll be the guy at the end, Bernard Shaw, whoever, sitting there at the desk. But then in the background, there's all those people milling around. You know what I mean? The guys who are, like, keeping it together, like Mission Control. And you always kind of wonder, like, who are those people in the background? And do they have to be trained not to, like, look over at the camera while Bernard Shaw's doing his newscast or whatever? I always wonder, like, how long until one of those guys in the background of the CNN Center just gives the double fingers to the camera? Well, so apparently, this KOCE in Orange County... A guy in the background didn't flip off the camera, but during a newscast, walked up to the camera, picked his nose, and then wiped it on his shirt while he was on camera, which is wonderful.
You don't need to demonstrate that, right?
I wasn't actually picking my nose. I was miming the gesture, for the record. But and then they had to put out this whole... And the guy's name is C.P. Smith, apparently. He is the Register's page one editor, and he is the husband of L.A. Times deputy editor Sherry Stern. She's got to be a proud wife. And he's just a big, like, George Costanza-looking bastard. So I have to look at this, but if they put out this letter, let's see. During an interview, which will air tonight, with Register reporter John Gittleson, another Register employee walked to the interview area, intentionally stood behind Mr. Gittleson, faced the camera, picked his nose, and wiped it on his shirt. We regret this incident. That is fantastic.
Yeah, I'd love to know. I'd love to talk to that guy and find out what was the motivation behind that.
Well, Michael Taylor, news director at KOCE, says, I can assure you that this employee is no longer going to be a problem. That's all it says. Now I got to go find it so I can post it on my site. That's excellent. All right. It's a great world, Jim Rupert, really.
Well, KOCE, man, I mean, I think it's a public station anyway. It's not a commercial station.
Oh, really? So much the better. That doesn't surprise me, actually, because I'm looking at a picture of the guy who was actually, you know, the anchor who, while the nose picking was going on, and he really does look like he just came from, like, the community center somewhere or something. So, Tim Riley is saying now that Wally George used to be at KOCE.
Yeah.
Wally George was...
No, Wally George was not on KOCE.
Is that true? Because he was a forerunner to Mount Morton Downey Jr.
Yeah, but he was on the commercial station, which is KODC.
Okay.
KDOC.
Right. Okay.
KDOC.
All right, fair enough. We had a whole discussion about
By the way, you know who his daughter is, right?
I do not.
Rebecca De Mornay.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. All right, let's see. Before we go, I guess we have a question for you here. Hold on a second. This is Raleigh. You're on the Rick Emerson Show with Jim Roop.
Yeah, hold on a minute. I got to wipe my finger off.
Thanks.
Now, if that ball set the record and it makes itself a great deal of value, won't the next home run that's hit actually be worth more? Isn't it smarter for him to sell this ball now rather than later when another ball is of a higher value?
Yeah, this is the record breaker ball, though. Any other ball is just another ball.
But in other words,
you can't break your own record. You just make it.
Nobody can set a new record with it.
But in other words, what he's saying is, if when somebody else gets close to breaking Bonds' record, the guy should unload the ball then, right?
No, he should unload the ball now. I would sell it now.
Right now?
I would.
I guess, because, I mean, if it's half a million, even if they pay $150,000, that's still $350,000.
Because I got to say something. If there's no dirt on Alex Rodriguez, if A-Rod has no dirt on him at all, and he gets anywhere near in the next year or two, because he's only, what, 32 years old, something like that?
Yeah.
He's going to break that record. And so this ball is almost worth nothing now anyway. Then 5 years or so, that record's going to be broken again. So he should unload that damn thing now.
It's a fait accompli that it's going to be, as well as my dad always would say, you know, go for the sure thing as soon as you can. So
absolutely, man.
Well, it's $350 the guy didn't have before. So
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
All right, brother. Well, as always, a pleasure to talk to you, and I'm glad you're still alive and around. We were wondering there for a while.
Yeah, so. I'm here.
All right, brother. We'll talk to you very soon.
Thank you, sir.
Jim Roop in Los Angeles. Fantastic. Bam. Bam. Hi, Sarah. How you doing?
I'm good.
All right. These Chocolate Rain lyrics. I'm sorry, the Scotty J lyrics.
We really need to break, Rick. Okay, it's been 45 minutes.
Really? Yeah. It hasn't been 45
It really
minutes.
Has.
You're lying.
It's been... Oh, actually, it's been 50 minutes.
Really?
Yes.
It hasn't been 50 minutes. We're breaking now, I guess. Hey, you know, Poison playing Silverton tonight. All right. Anywho, it's 503-733-2970. We've come back. Jim Riley, have ye prepared exciting news for us?
Oh, yes. The process never ends.
Also, a sewage watch coming up. We'll talk to Mr. Skin, the top five, and more. You said here's the Rick Emerson Show today. Hello, it's the Rick Emerson radio program. All right, the Scotty J song is coming along nicely. And we got like, I got a good two stanzas already written right here in front of me. And I think we have the music. Scotty, is this in the RES folder? What would it be called? How would I recognize that? Is it just called Chocolate Rain? All right, hold on a second. Let me just,
did you hear that?
I did.
That was me whacking it against my desk.
No, that's not it. I'm sorry. Here we go. Let's see if I've let's see if I can get this to load, and then we'll just test this out a little bit. So this is. Is this the right part of the song?
I don't think so. It's making me crazy.
Chocolate rain. Na 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 na. I think this is wrong. I think someone needs to explain the concept of looping.
No, because I don't think there is any instrumental to loop.
There has to be, because how would all those parodies exist? I mean, all of these, Scream, please forgive me, it's hard. The
Sometimes I want to just hug him.
And then give him a noogie. Then kick him down some stairs. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from the AM 970 Ministry of Truth, your personal savior, Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
A Beaverton man has set a new pancake flipping record. Adam Zerwing, the corporate chef of the Beaverton-based Evo company.
The Evil Company?
Evo.
Oh.
E-V-O.
Sorry.
Evo. Flipped 651 pancakes over the course of an hour, easily surpassing the previous world record of 555 pancakes flipped by one man in the span of 1 hour. And that's a news story.
Where is that from?
Beaverton.
No, but I mean, what news service?
KGW.
Of course. Just checking.
Well, Longview police are searching for vandals who damaged 10 cars in the 3-block area.
Vandals?
They swung at cars using a bat, breaking taillights and windows. One victim claims he heard a bang outside his house at 4 in the morning. I yelled, "Get out of here!" Then he called the police. It was too late. The Salem Hospital was evacuated today because of a gas leak. It happened shortly after noontime. A 1-inch gas line was cut somehow. No other details. Actress Vivica A. Fox has been ordered to abstain from alcohol at least until September. That's only 3 weeks away. That from an L.A. Superior Court judge telling the Dancing of the Stars alumni she must remain sober until her September arraignment. She's allowed to be among others who drink because of the nature of her business. She's been charged with 2 misdemeanor counts of DUI, including driving while impaired and driving with the blood alcohol content of 0.8 or larger. She could face up to 8 months in jail and a $1,000 fine. She was nabbed driving her Cadillac Escalade past a chip car at approximately 80 miles an hour.
I don't even know what we're talking about. Is
CHP.
Oh, I thought, yeah, there was like something in Britain.
No.
Okay, let's do one more here, and then we'll talk to Mr. Skin, and then we'll resume news on the other side of that.
Well, the White House admits the president was treated for Lyme disease last year. The exam showed a localized Lyme disease. It is a common tick-borne infection that can spread to the joints, heart, and nervous system if left untreated. It can be treated in a few weeks with antibiotics.
You know, when we were doing that Lyme disease story about Bush earlier, I was desperately trying to find the punchline when Lisa was saying that he had some sort of small blood-sucking leech attached to him. Mm-hmm. And I kept trying to find the reference to go to, because with Clinton, you would say, like, you know, Dick Morris. But it didn't seem right to say Cheney, Karl Rove. I couldn't come up with the appropriate punchline there.
Well, I'll read it again tomorrow.
Yeah, or if you can
give you a running start.
Brainstorm something for your news this afternoon, perhaps. It's still to come on the Rick Emerson program. We will we'll do the inaugural edition of the Rick Emerson Sewage Watch. We will have the top five coming up. More from Tim Riley in just one moment. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from MrSkin.com, the online celebrity nudity database, our good friend Mr. Skin himself. Hello, sir. How are you today?
Hey, Rick. How's it going?
Things are going well. It's a good week. It's a fantastic week. How's life in the skin world?
Everything's good. How could life be bad when you get to do this for a living?
It's true. It's true.
Yeah. But I wanted to mention to you guys that Matt Damon's The Bourne Ultimatum is the number one movie at the box office, and it's a PG-13 film, so there's no nudity, but I'm already starting to get a lot of skintress in the actress Julia Stiles, who's been the co-star in all three of the Bourne movies, and guys wanting to know, has she ever been naked? And
now,
the answer,
yeah. Where would I know her from? But Julia Stiles, what else has she been in?
Wow, I'm trying to think. Nothing.
Sarah's mouthing something at me here, but
is Julia Stiles the one that was in like 10 Things I Hate About You and Save the Last
Yeah,
Dance?
I'm saying nothing bigger than the Bourne movies. I'm trying to think. Would you know like Business of Strangers? That movie.
Business of Strangers with Stockard Channing.
Right.
Yeah.
Ten Things I Hate About You. Mentioned she was in that.
Okay.
Yeah, that guy said, but I'm saying the Bourne movies are really what's put her on the map. But as far as her skin, she's come real close. She did a movie called Edmund in 2005 where she takes off her robe, but her back's to the camera, so you only see side boob, which is okay, but it's not nudity. She did a movie called A Little Trip to Heaven the same year, 2005, where 49 minutes in, she's completely nude, but she's in a bathtub, and the water, she's naked below the water, so you could kind of see her naked, but it's below water, so I don't know if through the water counts officially as nudity, but she's come close, but no nudity, and I'm already getting a lot of requests for her because the movie's so popular right now. Another movie that opens this weekend is called Skinwalkers. It's a horror thriller. It's about these they're like kind of like werewolves, and there's a warring a group of them that are after a 12-year-old boy and his mom. They're the targets of these two warring wolf packs, and the mother's played by Rona Mitra, and this is another PG-13 movie, so there's no nudity, but Rona Mitra did a great movie called Hollow Man. That was the movie where Kevin Bacon was
the invisible.
And did what most invisible guys would do, is go hang out in hot girls' bedroom so you could see him naked, and she was combing her hair in the mirror, and you could see her naked at the 58-minute mark. So a lot of guys, when they see Skinwalkers, are going to want to know about Rona Mitra. She's done some good nudity, Hollow Man being her best.
Excellent. All right, my friend, it is always a pleasure. From the online celebrity nudity database, MrSkin.com, Mr. Skin himself. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Rick. Take care, man.
All right, talk to you soon. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's 503-733-2970. By the way,
you really stumped him with that Julia Stiles thing.
Well, because I knew her from somewhere, and I have only seen 10 Things I Hate About You once.
Oh, you would? Oh, I figured that you would.
It's like a Taming of the Shrew thing, right?
Yeah, it's amazing.
The only thing I really saw her in that stuck with me was Business of Strangers, which is a terrible movie with Stockard Channing.
And you never saw Save the Last Dance?
No.
It's a good movie.
Mm-hmm. Anywho, before we resume, I'm sure it's a fine movie. I just, you know. Look, we've all got gaps. You haven't seen Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Face.
Who, Julia Stiles?
Yeah.
Yeah, it always kind of looks like she's eating something really sour.
And she's in this terrible movie with Freddie Prinze Jr. I can't.
Really?
It's one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
That's impossible. Not with Freddie Prinze Jr. Rick, Stephen Baldwin broke his shoulder and ribs on that bull riding show, so maybe that's a reason to watch. By the way, Lou Diamond Phillips, better known as somebody from this Jesus thing they sent us, is coming to town playing King Arthur and Camelot. Really?
Okay.
Here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
Oh, listen to this. Mitt Romney is defending his son's, five sons, decisions not to enlist in the military, saying they're showing their support for the country by helping me get elected.
Oh, really? Yeah. Did he actually have the balls to say that?
It says in quotes, by helping me get elected. Romney, who did not serve in Vietnam due to his Mormon missionary work and high draft lottery number, was asked a question by an activist after his speech, which he called for a surge of support for the U.S. forces in Iraq.
I think we ought to avoid the word surge from now on if we're running for president. Don't you think we ought to do that, Mitt? And secondly, if...
My sons are all adults, and they made decisions about their careers, and they chose not to serve in the military at active duty, and I respect their decision in that regard.
Seriously,
one of the ways my sons are showing support for our nation is helping me get elected because they think I'd be a great president.
The stones on that guy to run as a pro-war candidate. None of his five kids are over there getting shot at, of course. And then, of course, the follow-up question, if they only allowed follow-up questions these days, which, of course, they don't.
I'm surprised somebody managed to get one out.
Well, because, you know, when Bush was here, they had that. It's like when you and I saw Peter Jennings that time from far away, where they gave it a little liner cards. You have to submit all your questions in advance. The follow-up question, obviously, to that, though, is since the kids are not going to war because they're busy running, they're busy helping to run your campaign for president, which will fail, then the obvious question is, when your career implodes and you can't get elected president, will you then be shipping them off to, Jalalabad at that point? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's exactly what I would have asked. God, what a bastard. F him.
All right, we will. Feminine guys are better for the ladies, say a study. Women see masculine-looking guys as more unsuitable long-term partners, but men with more feminine features are seen to be more committed and less likely to stray. Scientists at the Universities of Durham and St. Andrew, wherever these places are, came to the conclusion by asking 400 men and women to make judgments on character after looking at digitally altered pictures of men's faces. Men with square jaws, larger noses, and smaller eyes were classified as significantly more dominant, less fearful, worse parents, and having less warm personalities. Those with finer facial features, fuller lips, wide eyes, and thinner, more curved eyebrows, on the other hand, were viewed as a better bet for long-term relationships. And healthier-looking faces, for example, those with better complexions, are seen to be more desirable in terms of all personality traits compared to those who look unhealthy. Older faces are
really
covered in sores and
older
flies.
Faces are generally viewed more positively as compared to young ones.
Okay.
Yes, women see a healthy guy as a source of wealth and fit for a family.
It seems like there ought to be a lot I can do with this story, but I've just got nothing. We'll do this call, and now let's do the sewage watch.
Oh, yes.
And then I still got to read the testicle story from yesterday. Hello. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, I wanted to call in. I heard the story about the guy who put the dead body in the kebabs.
Yes.
And I used to work at a deli in northeast Portland.
Oh, God.
And, well, we make sandwiches, sliced meat, and stuff like that. And this is nowhere done on purpose, but I once sliced my thumb pretty much vertically up and down and pretty much took off the whole fingerprint.
The whole pad of your thumb right off in the meat slicer.
And in relation to that, as far as, well, basically, the thumb went into the bag of the person's sandwich meat.
Oh,
no, bad.
And I rushed to the bandage myself up, but my boss, he was attending to me, but another rep in the deli did not see the whole incident. So he went back over and bagged up the lady's meat and gave it to her.
I hoped it wasn't going there, and then I kind of hoped it was, and then I kind of hoped it wasn't. And so she just took home a bag of meat, including a big chunk of your thumb?
Well, she's got the left fingerprint, yeah.
I wonder, do you remember what kind of meat this was?
It was actually, I believe it was honey mesquite turkey.
I guess my question is it a kind of meat into which a section of your thumb would have conceivably been camouflaged?
Yeah, very much so, yes.
So
it,
the likelihood is that she just ate a big part of your thumb and didn't even know it?
Probably so, yeah.
Oh, my God.
We would have heard a complaint if not.
That's true. No, that really is true.
Stop talking about that, Rick.
No, you know it's interesting.
That she inadvertently ate a big piece of his thumb?
Men 25 to 54 love this stuff, Sarah. And I think we all know that's true.
It'll give us a third place in the market share.
What was I saying? Anyway, because that, I guess, the proof is in the pudding, right? Or in the complaining in this case. That if you're going through your meat at home, so to speak, I don't know.
I feel like I'm going to barf.
That's how you know we're doing a great job here, by the way. Sarah is the sort of inverse canary in the coal mine. If you go to the deli and you're taking out your strips of bacon at home and then there's a thumb in there, you're going to go back and go, hey, what's this business with the thumb all about? But the fact that you never, because you would not let that go uncommented on. So the fact that you never heard back is sort of passive proof that she didn't even know that a big piece of your thumb was in with her meat.
Yeah, mostly so. I never heard anything back.
So,
but, I mean,
so you cut off the thumbprint. Now, did it grow back?
It didn't grow back. It's kind of just like a flat thumb.
So you don't have a thumbprint?
I could probably get away with a couple of crimes.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Huh. All right. How long ago was this?
It's about a year ago. I got half a thumbprint. I don't have the whole thing, but I have the outer edges in the middle.
Now, you know, here's the really great thing about this. See, I thought you meant like 10 years ago somehow. So this is only a year ago. And, of course, please do not identify the business. But this was a year ago at, was it a restaurant or a deli, like a sandwich place?
It was a deli, yeah.
So it was a deli in North Portland a year ago.
Yes, sir.
See, and the great thing about that is that that's recent enough, and you know, and it's not like it's in some other city. That's here. That, you know, the odds are, I don't know, depending on the demographic of the person who came in and bought your thumb and the turkey, the odds, it's entirely possible that the person who did that is listening to us. How great is that? Excellent. Thank you, sir. That's a great call.
Thank you.
Thank you, my friend. That's wonderful. Okay. I don't even know where to go from there. Here's Tim Riley.
Time for a sewerage watch.
I've got that over here. Sorry, I've got to load that into the AV. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for a Rick Emerson Show sewage watch.
Just let rain. Some stay dry and others feel the pain. Chocolate rain. The school books say it can't be here again. Chocolate rain. Build a tent and say the well is dry. Chocolate rain.
This comes to us from Wales, the South Wales Argus newspaper. Furious residents in the town saying they're having to cope with raw sewage running past their front doors. One of those involved is Raymond Morgan. He said he's concerned about health risks to himself and his wife, Emily. Mr. Morgan, who's 17, claims the sewage has been overflowing off and on for 4 years. He said it is coming from an outlet on the street above and running past his front door and into his garage.
Doesn't that tell you all you... Can I just tell you this? This is not my observation. This is the observation of many, many British people that I have known in my life. The British... what is the deal with Wales? That's like a separate sovereign country, right?
It is like a province.
I'm not... See, I don't want to...
It's a separate language.
I don't want to get like... Really? Oh, they speak Welsh.
Yes.
So I don't want to get into this whole...
some of the signs there are in Welsh.
I don't want to get into this whole business like Scotland, where we found out Scotland isn't actually a country. So I don't know what Wales is, but every British person I've met has detested the people in Wales.
Yeah.
I don't know what that's all about.
It's like a southern state.
Is it really? Is it sort of... It's the Mississippi of that part of the world? So the people I know in Britain, they would just... My friend Martin used to just go, ah, God, the effing Welsh. F them. Like, you would just... Like, their existence offended him somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the idea that this guy has to wade through his own feces for every day to every time he wants to leave the house for 4 years and... Then it's considered just like such a normal part of the Welsh experience that they don't bother to fix it.
Well, it's disgusting. When it happens, we've got to leave our shoes on inside.
That's great.
When we come back in the car, we go through a walk. And we get in the door, and it's the same thing when we leave the house. We have told Welsh Water about this on numerous occasions. And engineers come up to free the blockage, but it always comes back. The mess is ruining our quality of life, says the Welshman.
Really?
Yes.
How? Well, okay. Well, there you go. That's how high could that quality of life have really been, again, if they're not even deigning to... If it's been 48 months that the sewage has been... Really, I mean, imagine, it's not just like a little sewage down on the street. That's sewage flowing into your house, onto your carpet.
Yeah.
There's no steam cleaning that's going to take that out. All right, fantastic. No. There's your sewage watch for Wednesday.
Chocolate rain with your neighborhood insurance rates. Chocolate rain. Some stay dry and others feel the pain. Chocolate rain.
Excellent.
Awesome.
Rick. I don't want to ever hear the thumb lunch meat story again. Never, ever, ever. Yeah, that'll make its way into a best of. Here's Tim Riley.
An Elmira, New York man has the ashes of his first wife back after his new wife accidentally sold them at a garage sale. Anita Lewis found the ceramic turtle containing the ashes of her husband's previous wife at a nearby Salvation Army thrift store. Anita Lewis accidentally sold the ceramic turtle for 50 cents. Her husband, Torrens, told her they contained the ashes of his first wife, Marcia, only after she sold the container. The buyer said she planned to use the urine as a cookie jar. Anita Lewis had hauled some items into her backyard Saturday while her husband slept. The buyer quickly selected the large turtle container, despite being unable to open the lid. His previous wife had collected turtles. Yeah, we had a lot of them, said Anita. Didn't even register that her ashes would have been inside.
That's wonderful.
Oh, Skippy peanut butter. No, it's Peter Pan peanut butter. Will return to shelves this month with a 100% satisfaction guarantee to reassure consumers that Con Agra Foods has fixed the problem that allowed salmonella to contaminate the product. They said this peanut butter will return this month, but they can't predict when stores nationwide will resume selling Peter Pan. This, by the way, had nothing to do with the Chinese, who have started a campaign of economic threats against the U.S. China may liquidate its massive holding of U.S. Treasury bonds if Washington imposes trade sanctions to force a revaluation of the yuan. That's their coin.
They're going to be doing what? They're going to be liquidating?
Yes. Their massive holding of U.S. Treasury bonds.
As opposed to just liquidating the insides of our colon, which has sort of been their attack plan up until this point.
Yes. Because they've been buying up all the bonds. They're actually financing our wars. Top Communist Party officials warn that China may use its $1.3 trillion in foreign reserves as a political weapon to counter-pressure Congress.
Fantastic.
The Chinese state media call the possible move, quote, a nuclear option. It could trigger a dollar crash while the U.S. currency is already being broken down due to historic support levels. It could cause a spike in bond yields, hammer the housing market, and tip the economy into recession.
Let's see. Scotty, what is this sound that you've given me here? Hold on, let me just...
I feel like I'm going to barf.
That's wonderful. And he's really... Scotty has typed on the screen something that is so true. That will have hundreds of applications on this program. That'll get used all the time. Fantastic. Okay, here's what we should do, because I don't want to get too terribly behind here. Although we are so hopelessly behind, even as I say this, because I
terrible.
I got to read this testicle story.
Mm-hmm.
Then I got to read this thing about the Glorious Bastards. We got the top five still to do. We got I think we're going to talk to Fatboy and take maybe a dry run of the Scotty J song. And see, did you find an instrumental version of the song?
No, I found ones that they're all like a bunch of DJs that have remixed it and like, They turn really loud. They don't sound at all like it.
So we don't have a straight out.
Even though Scotty's screaming at me through my email trying to get me to play it, and it just won't go over the air. It's too loud.
It's not. Well, you know, I have some audio editing software that might actually be able to remove his vocal track. And in a pinch, we might do that. We've got that to get to. Don't forget, we're giving away tickets to the AST Do Tour. But next hour, coming up next time, the 2 o'clock hour, we gotta do those Night Ranger tickets. We have Night Ranger tickets still. To give away because they're playing at the Gorge this coming Saturday. So we have that. Do I have something else? Oh, and then, do you remember that idea that I floated right before we came on the air today? I was talking about that killing two birds with one stone idea.
Yes.
What do you think about that? Do you think
I don't really remember the idea.
Move forward with? Well, I almost don't even want to say it on the air. So yesterday... Yesterday, we gave Scotty a birthday present. We let Scotty come in and do like 12 minutes of the show, and it became the Scotty J Show. Because we were not able to do our, which was glorious and golden. We weren't really able to do our first choice as a gift, which was we were just going to have Scotty come in. And we asked him not to drive yesterday. We're like, hey, don't drive to work. Take the MAX, take the bus, have somebody drop you off, get a ride here with a friend. Because our whole plan was just to get him all loaded up. Our plan was just to get him all... And he asked us about that. He's like, is this so you can get me drunk? And we lied and we said no, but that was totally the plan. The plan was absolutely and totally to get him drunk. And we weren't really able to do it.
We weren't even let him drink the Lucas Rossi Jägermeister.
Which is still sealed. Still, it's uncracked. So we were going to get just Scotty totally wasted. And we weren't really able to do it. Because, again, he had to go out with his family or something and... Blah, 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 blah. So this dovetails with something else because I read an article in the paper like 2 or 3 days ago that they are pushing through with this plan to get rid of all of these I don't even want to call them discount wines because that makes it sound like we're talking about like a $3 chuck or whatever. This is like this is the lowest of the low. This is the bottom
like
shelf
the
of the wine.
Ones.
This is totally
like
the white
wine.
Trash ghetto wine where it's like the Night Train and the Thunderbird. And I guess they're going to be getting rid of that downtown. In Portland now, you're not going to be able to buy these fortified wines. And I hate to call it fortified wines. Because when they say you fortified wine actually makes it sound like it's good for you, right? Like when they have like a fortified cereal, and you know, like Special K is fortified with 15 vitamins and minerals. Fortified wine makes it sound like it's going to cure the common cold or something. So
nowadays, everything prevents heart attacks.
Or so the
product claims.
And they'll have an interview with some guy. At first, I felt a tingling sensation in my arm, and I didn't really know what it was, but my wife gave me a pint of Thunderbird, and the next thing I knew, the trouble had passed. I did not. So keep it there right next to your Buffering. So I was going to dovetail these whole two things together, and I was going to have a fortified wine tasting on Friday, and then I thought that Scotty could take part in it, so Scotty can be loaded for his birthday, but then we'll also make it part of our fortified wine tasting. So we would have to figure out what's going to be at the wine tasting, we would have to acquire the wine, and then we would have to do it on Friday. But on Friday, he would have to figure out, he would either have to get a ride to work, or he would have to be okay with getting a ride home after the show. So I don't know if we're going to do that or not. But I think we should. We should talk about it in the next hour.
Although you should have limited mic time because you know that the profanity is just going to be spewing.
Yeah, but that's why I've got the delay. Okay, I'm going to do this, Sarah, and then I will play us into the break with something. It is time to announce. Now, this is not the Glorious Bastard of the Week, but it's a very special event. We can now announce the milestone of the 970th AM 970 Glorious Bastard. The 970th Glorious Bastard is Mike Bogard from Aloha. Mike Bogard from Aloha, Oregon. You, sir, are the 970th AM 970 Glorious Bastard. And you're going to win a whole pile of stuff. I think you were going to be winning AST. Yeah, you're winning AST Do Tour tickets. Also tickets to see Rockfest the 12th. Also an AM 970 t-shirt with which you can lord your greater than them status over your friends and loved ones. Congratulations, Mike Bogard from Aloha, Oregon. You, sir, are the 970th AM 970 Glorious Bastard. So congratulations to you, sir. And then I'll go ahead and play a little something here as we hit the break, Sarah. This is our good friend Scotty J. We'll be back. The Rick Emerson Show continues next hour. Don't go anywhere.
Why do you want Vanilla Ice to be your brother?
God damn it. This Drake, this guy is Joy, everything. Me?
Yeah.
Scotty J, Vanilla Ice, my brother?
What'd you think of the women, though? At least the women were hot.
Hell yes. Hell
what
yes.
Were your thoughts on the women at Outlaws?
The women at Outlaws tonight were un-freaking believable.
What was hot about them?
Ass.
Anything else or just the ass?
Tops.
What kind of women do you like? What do you find attractive in a woman?
Boobs.
What would your message be to the women at Outlaws tonight? If you had one thing to say to them.
Scotty J, I'm with you tonight.
Is there one girl in particular you would send that out to?
No, it's a girl. I have the vibe. They know who I am.
What's the one they know who you are? Did you introduce yourself?
I introduced myself to about a 30 woman tonight.
What was the general reaction?
I hate you.
Did you go back and try again?
Nope.
Did you make a positive impression on any women?
Nope. It's all in the numbers game.
Rick Emerson Radio Show, 503-733-2970. Rick, I've been listening to your show long enough to know I should no longer expect you to actually get to the items you tease, but you've talked about an update to that Mary Miller Holly Hunter story for like 3 days. Can you get to it already? Signed, K, thanks, bye. Okay, as soon as Tim comes back in, I will. Don't let me forget about that, please. Would you remind me to do the... it's like a follow-up to the Mary Miller thing. It's not her, but it's in the same vein.
Oh, I don't want to hear another one of those.
Yes, you do.
Okay.
I just got to wait for Tim to get back in here, though. He deserves to hear this. Let's see. All right, what the hell am I doing here? I mean, in a generalized sense, even. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. This is, let's see if I can find the actual, hold on, this is actually a soundbite I would need to find. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. From Aloha, is this Mike, the proud 970th glorious bastard?
It is.
Hey, how are you, sir?
Laughing my head off.
Excellent. Well, you know, you are, sir, the 970th AM 970 glorious bastard. And so we thank you, sir, and congratulations. So you're going to see Rockfest the 12th. You're also going to see the AST Do Tour, which is... And by the way, you can go to rickemerson.com and you can see the close-up video of this. Everybody's talking about the Do Tour thing because that's going to be the comeback performance of that Jake Brown guy who we've all been talking about for like 4 days because he fell 45 feet while skateboarding. And also an AM 970 t-shirt is yours, sir, for being the 970th glorious bastard.
Totally awesome.
Excellent. Are you spreading the word about the station, my friend?
I am.
When is the last time you spread the word?
I'd have to say
You're not
yesterday.
Convincing me. Really? To whom did you spread the word?
I called my brother-in-law, because he is a huge Barrels fan.
Uh-huh.
And he said, I called him to tell him about your interview with Bob Farrell. And he's just chomping the bit for a new Farrell's.
All right. Well, tell him. Okay. I suppose I'm convinced. Let him know that they're coming to California this year and they'll be back in Portland presumably next year, my friend.
Nice.
All right. Thank you, sir. And congratulations.
Hey,
yes.
I got just two factoids about
okay.
me.
Go ahead, sir.
One, my birthday is this week and I'm 41, just like Scotty.
You and Scotty have much in common.
And the other one is my wife's 37, and she grew up in Kennewick.
37? Really? I'm sorry to hear that. I'm glad that she's no longer in Kennewick, though.
Yes.
All right. Excellent. Thank you, sir, and congratulations. Godspeed to you, Mike and Aloha.
Thank you.
All right. Bye. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. There you go. Mike and Aloha, the 970th glorious bastard. Fantastic.
Where'd you get this music from?
I think it's from the production library.
Oh, it's great.
I think it's like generic Western... You know, but now I don't even know.
I feel like it's from some movie.
It's like a Magnificent Seven Western theme.
It sounds like that music that plays when, after you've gone through all of the previews on a DVD and then you're looking to see, like, play movie.
Oh, yeah, no, it's the menu music.
Yeah.
I think, now I don't even know the answer to that. Oh, I'll be embarrassed, too, if it turns out to be, like, some, you know, it's like some Paint Your Wagon. It clearly is meant to be sort of like a Bonanza, Magnificent Seven, Western kind of theme. I think it may have just come out of the production library, but I'm not entirely sure, because a lot of those songs are meant to be like, you'll see songs in a radio station production library, and a production library is just hundreds and hundreds of CDs of just instrumental music that they use for commercials and promos and whatever, but they don't want to have to pay licensing rights to use, like, if they use, like, regular pop music. So you'll see a lot of songs, there's this whole, it's like bad porn movie titles, you'll see a lot of production music with names like Han Valen, you know, and it's like some generic guitar bed that is supposed to sound like Van Halen, but they don't actually want to pay Van Halen to use their music. All right. Scotty J, if you could just with the whole...
Scotty J.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Please, I kiss you on the mouth. Please let me.
Good morning, Metolius.
Hello, Scotty J.
Good afternoon, Detroit and Detroit Lake area.
Are you hungover today? You're overcompensating.
Massive.
Really? How was your birthday last night? What did you guys do for your birthday?
I went to the CJ restaurant.
The CJ?
Yeah.
The Claim Jumper. Did you really call it
that?
The, the thing is, when he said CJ, he arched an eyebrow and sort of gave me the whole, you know.
You know, the wink.
Showing her my O face. That's what you just did right there. All right. And you have many libations?
Yes, several.
Excellent.
Now, I will say this. I have a top 10 restaurant list. Mm-hmm. Someday I'll share it.
Please do.
That's up there.
Yeah. What's your number one?
Well, it's a toss-up right now because I really like P.F. Chang's. So.
Okay, fair enough. They got that great wall of chocolate there.
Yes.
All right. And your other is?
I'm sorry.
You don't give it all away. Yeah, you don't
got to dangle
the whole
carrot.
Wad here. Yeah, okay. So let me read this story. I got this testicle story to read. Then we have to do the Night Ranger. Not we have to. We get to do the Night Ranger giveaway. We got to do the top five. I know Scotty's pointing mutely at the top five. I got like 40 minutes left. I got to do
a six-hour show.
I got to do two pair of Night Ranger tickets today because I want people to have a chance to make plans because it's in the gorge. Not like it's 5 minutes down the road or something. And of course, and so forth. So let me read this story. Then we'll do the Night Ranger giveaway. Then we will have Tim, and then we'll do this follow-up, this sort of awful follow-up to the Mary Miller thing. I'm just going to read this really quickly. St. Paul police searching for professionals who removed man's testicles. Russell Angus just wanted relief from the pain in his groin. The 62-year-old St. Paul man asked doctors to remove his testicles. They refused. He then hired professionals, and by professionals, by the way, he means amateurs.
Ballbusters.
To do the surgery for him. Police are now looking for the two of the three individuals who removed Angus's testicles at his home July 28th. Police say the surgery is potentially illegal. Anyone who performs medical procedures in Minnesota must be licensed to practice. Police responded to Angus's home July 28th to assist medics on a report of an injured male. When officers arrived, they saw that an upper-level room had been converted into a makeshift operating room, complete with operating table, medical equipment, and a camera. Angus told police that he'd hired two to three people. What is two to three people? It is either two or three.
I wonder if
two to three people means that it's a possibility you hired two and a half people or two and a third. Hired two to three people to remove his testicles in his home and that he was not conscious during the surgery. He said when he woke up, both his testicles and the professionals were gone and he was bleeding profusely from the groin. He called his daughter to come over and help him. That must be an awkward call. You'll need to come over. My testicles have gone. Police found blood in the living room, bathroom, and all down a hallway. He was taken to a hospital for treatment.
I wonder if the professionals brought in a pair of nutcrackers.
See, what do we call doing that?
Sporbert.
Do you want to be Sporbert?
No.
I didn't think so. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Okay, what was I saying we had to get done? Oh, well, we should take this call because it's about Friday. So if we're going to do this thing on Friday, which I like, by the way, I love this fortified wine tasting on Friday.
No.
Yeah, it's a great idea.
I'm out.
No, you're in.
No. Nope.
You are. You are. You're absolutely in.
Why? Why would you want
to
be out?
I'll tell you why.
No, he's absolutely in. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Well, hello there.
Hi, how are you?
I'm delightful, sort of, but anyway. I happen to know someone that not only knows where Scotty lives, but is practiced at driving him home when he's wasted and can handle the scene. So that's available if you really want to get him plowed.
I'm just saying, you were all down for this yesterday, by the way.
Right, but Friday won't work for one reason. We're gonna have to pick another time. Guys,
now why doesn't Friday work?
We gotta consult.
Why doesn't Friday work?
We gotta consult.
Why doesn't Friday work?
Because Saturday I need to be somewhere and I need to be sharp and bright and not.
You need
hungover.
To be at Night Ranger like 29 hours later.
Can't do it. I don't want to be hungover.
How could you possibly be hungover from drinking at noon?
You're drinking, hold on, seriously. That physiologically speaking, unless you're just a pussy, if you were drinking at noon on Friday. Let me consult my Night Ranger card. Hold on. No, seriously.
Let me pull out my Night Ranger card.
Night Ranger goes on at 7 o'clock. That is, in fact, 31 hours later.
Oh, I see what you're doing, Rick.
Yes, I'm doing simple addition.
You're pulling up the Night Ranger card on me.
I did actually, literally, that's funny. I literally actually just did pull out the Night Ranger card. Okay, that is kind of amusing. So that's not a valid excuse. You have to come up with a better excuse than that. Because it doesn't work to do it tomorrow.
Secondly, fortified wine, yeah.
It doesn't, Aaron, and see, here's the thing, on Friday, Aaron will be here to, like, take the blows with you.
Oh, he's going to drink, too?
Yeah, Aaron will be here, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it'll be you two together, it won't be you by yourself.
I can't do it tomorrow because
it'll
I don't have time.
It'll be booze buddies.
It doesn't. Would you please stop?
Sorry.
If I don't have time to do it tomorrow, we don't have time to get it put together tomorrow. Friday, Aaron will be here to shoulder some of the fortified wine load, as will Dennis Pitzenbarger, because he's coming in too. So tomorrow it would be just you, and then you'd be hosed for Friday, which would be worse, because then you got to be here working for Friday. So there's going to be a couple other people. It gives us some days to put it together, and it's better for a Friday anyway. It just screams Friday show.
Hey, Rick.
And tomorrow we're going to be focusing on the Scotty J. Chocolate Rain song. Yes.
Did you just say that... Scotty and Aaron will be taking blows together and then use the word load?
Yes, they'll be sharing the load.
Excellent.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, there you go. All right. So there you go. See, so we're good.
I think I'm in a barf.
Yes. Fantastic. So, and we you know, give us an excuse to crack open the Jägermeister that Lucas Rossi left us. So all we have to do is figure out, so we've got, hold on. We just have to figure out what wines it is that they're getting rid of. Hold on. So just real quickly, I can actually list a couple of these right now. So we've got Thunderbird, Night Train. Got this Jaeger.
Well, I'm on the Night Train.
Don't do that. Thunderbird, Night Train. What else am I missing? Boone's Farm.
Mad Dog 2020.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That's gross. Isn't it great?
Do you ever see Night Train?
Yeah.
The Mad Dog's like grapeish.
I got Ripple.
They're getting rid of all this stuff.
Ripple was from downtown. You're not going to be able to get... That's what I'm saying. It's our last.
What you would like is that I drink...
It's a wine tasting. No, you don't have to drink like the entire bottle. It's a tasting.
No, it's just like samples.
It's just you've been to a wine tasting, haven't you?
We're sampling the lowest grade gasoline on the market.
Yes. Have you been to a wine tasting?
Oh, yeah.
So there you go.
We did a wine tour.
That's exactly what this is.
It's the same thing.
There you go.
This is an Emerson-style wine tour.
That's exactly... You have nailed it, sir. You have exactly summed it all up. So there you go. So we'll do that on Friday. Like I said, Aaron will be here, Dennis will be here. Be fantastic. You know? And then your wife can drive the Night Ranger if you're still feeling a little fuzzy.
She's not going.
Is she not going to Night Ranger?
Who are you taking?
Who are you taking?
A buddy of mine who...
A sexy buddy?
No. He lives for Night Ranger, so...
He lives for Night Ranger.
Should be fun.
Say that again. Say that.
He lives for Night Ranger.
Really? Does he? He lives for Night Ranger? By the way, speaking of Night Ranger, let's see if I can get these to play. You know what? Somebody... I got these. These are real. This is Jack Blades from Night Ranger.
Hey, this is Jack Blades from Night Ranger, and we want to see everybody at Badal's in Oregon for Neon Nights. That's right. August 11th, Neon Nights. Night Ranger will be rocking the Badal's. See y'all there.
Doesn't that sound like his answering machine greeting?
Well, did he leave that on someone's answering machine?
I don't know. And at the end, you can hear something click off. Let me play the other one.
Hey, this is Jack Blades from Night Ranger. And that's right. August 11th, Neon Nights. Night Ranger will be rocking the Dells. Keep it up, dudes.
It's wonderful. It's
I'm going to be there rocking right with him.
You will,
guaranteed.
Scotty. All right. Okay. So we have to break. Can you do me a favor? I don't know what these people are calling for, because, of course, you've been in here and haven't been able to screen. We'll go through. Can you go through it? What we'll do is we'll take callers 5 and 6 for Night Ranger.
Okay.
We're giving away tickets. Night Ranger this Saturday, August 11th, Riverfront Park, The Dalles, Oregon. Night Ranger, along with a whole bunch of other bands, by the way, but Night Ranger, of course, is the big draw. 14th Annual Neon Nights Music Festival. August 11th, Riverfront Park, The Dalles, Oregon. That is this coming Saturday. So what we should do, Scotty, is clean out these, we'll go and empty out the phones here. Let's apologize to the folks on hold. We'll empty out the phones. We'll take callers 5 and 6 right now for your chance to win Night Ranger tickets. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Back after this, Night Ranger, Tim Riley, and more on the way. You say there's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. Just a moment. We'll go to the folds, and we'll attempt to give away these Night Ranger tickets with the assistance of Scotty J. First and foremost, though, with the Ministry of Truth, it's Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
A man is missing, and police want you to find him. 44-year-old David Peek was last seen leaving his home in Aloha days ago. He's described as a white man. 5'8", 240 pounds, brown hair, blue eyes. He has a flat top, too. And he's off his meds. He's bipolar, and he's often depressed.
Oh.
And not try to approach him on your own. Call police.
Be sure. Run at him screaming. And wear some funny antenna on your head when you do it, too.
It's time once again, after many years, for our 2-3-room space. Yes, the hatch is closed and the crew in place for the 3:36 launch of the space shuttle Endeavour.
For what?
Teacher in space.
Oh.
I wish I had the sound effect for that. She's the first one since the other one, Noel. Barbara Morgan is blasting off on the latest construction mission to the International Space Station. Apparently, she's kind of a tool belt diva. Weather at Cape Canaveral is hot and steamy, as it often is in Florida, and perfect weather for a teacher in space. Forecasters say there's a 10% chance that the conditions will prevent liftoff. It'll dock with the ISS, that's short for International Space Station, Friday, and if the mission is extended as expected, they'll return to Kennedy Space Center 14 days later. That's kind of a waste. Spend all that money for 14 days in space? What can they expect to accomplish?
I think at this point they'll settle for not blowing her into tiny pieces.
Well, I suppose that's one way of looking at it. This is the first flight since undergoing a major overhaul. Bounty hunting just isn't for guys anymore. Now the gals are getting involved. Therefore, it's time for them to have a new TV series called Bounty Girls Miami. It's a new core TV series. It uses real-life women, and they're hunting down fugitives. Bounty girl Jade said it isn't easy being a female in her line of work.
Men look at you and sometimes think, oh, what can she do? How's she going to take a fugitive down? And, you know, we do it just as well as the men, and sometimes we use our fem card, which seems to work a little better.
Yeah, Sarah, why don't you use your fem card more often so you can sound like a brainless...
That's just embarrassing.
Seriously. Jesus.
These vivacious victims are highly trained.
All of us take, you know, self-defense classes. We keep up to date on it. You want to make sure that, you know, you're able to apprehend someone. I mean, there's going to be times where it's a little more difficult, but if you have the basics, then you definitely are ahead of the game.
There is no limit to what these ladies can do.
What I'm trying to say is based out of, you know, Miami, and Jim does have other ones throughout Florida and a couple throughout the state, but wherever a defendant goes, we will follow them to make sure that we get our man or our woman.
Jesus Christ, whatever. All right.
A New Zealand woman faces jail time for plying a 14-year-old boy with drugs and alcohol and having a 7-month sexual affair with him. This woman, if you could see what she looks like.
Is she hot?
Kirstie Ann Hunter? Gave the boy partying pills, alcohol, and cannabis. Partying? And the boy would go to Hunter's house where they would smoke cannabis together.
What are partying pills?
I don't know. The boy began having sexual intercourse, and they would meet 3 or 4 times a week. The boy stayed with Hunter for a week when his family went on holiday.
Well done.
They had sex every day that week. And would have sex at least 50 times during the course of time.
Sounds like a living hell.
The boy is having to undergo counseling after being distressed because he used cannabis.
I'm sure that's what the counseling is for. Not for the fact that he was getting laid 100 times a week and now that's over and he's back to his room in his hand.
Well, at first the lady denied having sex with the boy, but then admitted to having sex with him, well, maybe a few times.
Yeah. Like 50. Okay. Okay, we have to do this Night Ranger thing. So we'll do that in a second. Tim, I wanted you here for this, though.
Oh, what's this about?
It doesn't sound like it's a firing about to happen. Tim, I wanted you in the room when we did this. Now...
Start cackling incoherently.
Now, this was a hard decision, and we don't make this decision lightly.
Before I journey to Kansas City...
Before I commence my long journey to the middle, I would like to tell you all that you did a great job, and
there's
please
nobody like you.
Get out. Okay, somebody said, Rick, I heard you playing the worst interview ever. That's fine. That's great. But you've got to hear this. This is the worst weather report ever. This is from station WQUB in Athens. The guy almost passes out. It's so great, you'll want to watch it again and again. You almost want to shoot this man in the head just to end his misery. Now, like all of these things, and you'll have to forgive the quality here, because it's a little overdriven, because it came off VHS, I think. But this guy is so uncomfortable. Seriously, you want to go and just smother him with chloroform or something. Just, you really do want to do that. Just so you can, because it's so awkward. So, let's see. This is
Lewis and Andrea. I certainly didn't expect the predictions of snow to come true. You know, I didn't either, Jesse. We had a pretty decent weekend. Lewis the Gowman is in right now with weather. Maybe, Lewis, you can tell us what we can expect for the rest of the week.
Now, they're going to throw it to the guy here. This is the weather guy, and hopefully you can hear this clearly enough.
Well, these bad things just blow in. The temperature in Athens is 37 degrees, and there's a current wind temperature, a westward direction, 7 miles per hour. The barometer is at 29 and 95 in growing, and the humidity.
He's, the whole time he's on camera, standing in front of one of those screens.
Is he okay? Is
no.
he sick?
No, he's like, well, he's like looking through his cards, trying to figure out what to say next.
Oh, okay, so he's not sick or anything.
No, he just, he's nervous. No, he's just nerves, right? He's yeah. looking at his feet a lot.
He stands at 79 degrees, and you can see a clear visibility at 1.8 miles.
He's now so nervous that he's actually just stepped off camera, and it's just a big blue screen. Because every time he stands on camera, he just shifts from foot to foot and can't figure out what to do.
And
totally off camera now.
In Athens, the temperature, as I said before, is 37 degrees. You can clearly see a strait in a northwest direction with Columbus standing at 37 degrees and Cleveland at...
Now he's on camera, but doesn't know where he's supposed to stand, so he's walking back and forth in front of the map, trying to look down at the monitor to figure out where to stand, can't figure it out, but is supposed to keep talking the whole time.
32 degrees, and real is at 37, and... going over to a national radar, there's a cold front coming in with the rain coming near West Virginia, and it's passing over by the Ohio area, and...
He's just taking these huge gasping breaths. It's like he's going to hurl at any moment. He's so nervous.
Okay. And... moving on to our state radar, we can see that there's a slight buildup near the Athens area. On our 4-day forecast, we have a high chance of snow and...
Now he doesn't know where to stand. The screen is up behind him, and it shows the little cloud icon and the numbers, and he's unsure about where to stand in front of the blue screen, so he just bolts off camera again.
Possible snow on Tuesday and partially cloudy on... Wednesday and chance of snow on Thursday. And so far it looks like it's going to be very cold.
Thanks, Lewis. I sure wish it were warmer. I do too, Jesse. The snow with colder temperature.
All right, that's fantastic. So there you go. So no matter how bad you are, anybody, you'll never be that bad. I hope.
Oh, that's so sad.
I mean, it's always possible, I guess.
I'm trying to figure out if it's because they didn't give him any information. Also, he had to do it off the top of his head. So
now he just looked nervous.
Yeah, that guy was going to hurl. All right, let's do this. Let's go to the phone, shall we? We've got, I think they're both named John here. This is caller 5. John, hello?
Hi.
Hi there, sir. So
how
it said, so are you are ye interested in seeing Night Ranger this weekend at the Gorge?
Sure.
Sure. Now, keep in mind, this is a thing you'll have to drive to see. So are you actually interested in this?
I have a car.
All right. All right, you're qualified then. All right, sir. So here's the deal. I'm going to give you some Sister Christian lyrics, and then I'm going to stop, and you either have to give me the next line, or you have to let Scotty guess it for you, okay?
All right.
All right, so here's the deal. I will give you the lead-up. I'll then stop, and at that point, you either have the choice of telling me the next line, or you can sort of punt and hand it off to Scotty, and he will do it for you. All right, here we go. Sister Christian, there's so much in life. Don't you give it up before your time. All right. Can you give me the next few words, sir? Or do you want to let Scotty take it?
I got a punt, I'm afraid.
All right. Scotty?
Oh, and I don't feel
Scotty, I'll
right
give you the lead
today.
Up again. Sister Christian, there's so much in life. Don't you give it up before your time is through. It's true.
It's true. Right? You motor in. Right? Am I right? Wrong?
Well, we'll have to throw it to the judges. Sarah, Scotty claimed that
well,
the line was...
Well, just doesn't seem very stoked about these tickets.
I am stoked. I'm going
you really,
there.
Here's the thing. You've got the line wrong. You got the line wrong.
You got it wrong.
What? You got it wrong.
I love this band.
I can't... You don't love this band.
Before your time is due, it's true.
Oh, I said through. That's
yeah,
pretty
that's
darn
wrong.
Close.
All right, I'm sorry, sir. Sorry about that.
Oh, man.
It's been since
he didn't even care.
Literally,
check
this out.
He's not stoked.
It's been since like the 90s that I've actually listened to him, you know, because you kind of tuck these things away,
yeah, right.
Break them out later.
Well, you know, don't blame the 90s. All right, thank you.
Don't blame the 90s.
We'll take the next John here. All right, sorry about that, sir. Hello, John the 6th. Hello, sir.
Hey, how are you doing?
Well, we're desperately trying to get these tickets away, but Scotty keeps choking. All right.
You know, you said that the lyrics were motoring. I thought the line was Scotty J.
No. Okay.
Crickets.
Okay. Here we go again.
Crickets.
All right. We're going to do this again. I will give you a few lines. You got to give me the next line, or you can throw it to Scotty J. Here we go. Where you going? What you looking for? You know those boys.
I have no idea.
You want to punt?
Oh, no.
Throw it to Scotty.
Oh,
Scotty,
no.
The
Scotty,
this
is in your hands.
I feel like it's, you know, you can hum it, or you think the word is something like...
We already did this one,
like
right?
The last example.
I know. That's why it should be easy. This is the same one we did yesterday.
Scotty, you hold all the cards right now. Come on.
Scotty, you're holding this man's destiny in your hands.
Scotty.
Here we go.
This hurts.
Mr. Scott!
Here we go. I'm going to lead it to you. I'll give it to you one more time. No pressure, Scotty. This
there
man
is
desperately
pressure.
Wants
I don't
to
know.
Start.
I don't know 100%
here we go.
What this is.
Let's stop. Everybody quiet. Where you going? What you looking for? You know those boys.
Oh, my God. I want to say.
You know this.
You know those boys ain't gonna. I want to say something like hurt no more for you, and it's totally wrong.
This could be your finest moment.
I mean, I haven't
Scotty.
Said anything yet. I'm spelling it out in midair.
You gotta like wrap it up at some point here.
You know these boys aren't gonna.
Would it be easier if we played the lead up for you, Sarah? All right. Just hold on.
Hurt no more
no,
for you.
No,
see, I don't know.
God.
I don't know what he says there.
All right, sorry, oh sir.
Sorry, guys.
All right, there you go. Sorry about that.
What does he say
John.
There? I gotta know.
Sarah, you play it. Do you have it?
You know those boys.
You know those boys don't wanna play no more.
Oh, play no more with you.
All right,
oh.
Now, see how we can have tried and failed
you're
again?
You're so frustrating. You didn't even look at the lyrics after you knew this?
This is the same, and you knew this was the contest that we did yesterday.
Oh, well, crap, we've got a break.
All right, we got a break. Back after this, it's the Rick Emerson Show. We're now into the saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. Rick, about that weatherman. What happens to these people afterward? Do they get fired? Just bad days? What? It's like watching those GIF images online of cats attacking babies and the frustration of never knowing what happened afterward.
Are you going to put that on your website? Because
yes.
It doesn't... It's so much better with the video.
Oh, yeah. Seeing
my
this
God,
guy, it's fantastic.
So awkward.
Our good friend Storm Large emails in. She says, Rick, you got to go all out with the white trashiness of that wine tasting and serve it in little styrofoam cups with cheese whiz and crackers that come in little packets that you get free with soup.
Is Storm going to come in?
I think we found the key to luring her. We found the key to Storm's
stomach. Scotty would do anything
stomach.
If Storm was here.
It's true. Let's see. What else do we have? Rick? Oh, this is too good. I want to save this till tomorrow.
No!
I don't have time.
What is it?
I don't have time. I honestly, no, you'll thank me for saving it. I don't mean to be that guy. Oh, coming up tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
I got to say this. Coming up tomorrow, tomorrow we will debut the Scotty J. Chocolate Rain song. We're going to have that produced tonight. See, that's turnaround time. We can get things done when we want to. Tomorrow we debut the Scotty J. Chocolate Rain song.
With a special guest singer, which we already mentioned anyway.
Special guest who will be doing that for us, and so forth. Rick, this email says... everybody's talking about the Stephen Baldwin thing getting injured at the bull riding thing. Let's see, what else do we have here? Rick, I can't get chocolate rain out of my head unless I blow it out with a bullet. I lay awake at night thinking, damn you, Rick Emerson. Damn you to hell. All right. How long?
A minute.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess there's nothing else to do but...
And moving on to our state radar, we can see that there is a slight buildup near the Athens area. On our 4-day forecast, we have a high chance of snow and possible snow on Tuesday and partially cloudy on Wednesday and chance of snow on Thursday. And so far, it looks like it's going to be very cold.
There you go. Thank you, Lewis. I appreciate that. All right. It's the Rick Emerson Show. We return in 20 hours immediately following Dennis Miller, who follows Stephanie Miller. Like us next, Don and Mike at 7. We want to thank CNN radio correspondents Jim Roop, Ed McCarthy, and Lisa Goddard today, as well as Mr. Skin. Rick Emerson Show produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970, Solid State Radio. In the newsroom, Tim Riley, RPA, Scotty J., the gatekeepers, Dave's in. Don't let the bastards grind you down. See y'all tomorrow, my friends. Be safe. Thanks for listening. Watch over snakes. Bye.
Sorry, folks. We're closed for 2 weeks to clean and repair America's favorite family fun park. Sorry.